Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, we do, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you, Jehoshua. We surrender all to Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Because he is our God. He is our Lord. He is the one who has mercy on us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. What an awesome, awesome God we serve. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We praise you, mighty, mighty God, for your love, your mercy that endure forever. We thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, for being so merciful. Amen. Thank you, sister. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Jehoshua. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm wondering where to start, where to start to share God's wonderful word in Revelation tonight. Thank you, Lord. But we got to start from the beginning. That's where we start. Amen. But there's so much to talk about. Amen. Thank you, sister. Amen. Thank you very much. Right? We thank the Lord for each and one of you. Amen. That are supporting us in so many ways. There's so many ways you can help someone, a ministry. You can pray for them. And there's so many ways that you can help a ministry. And I thank each and one of you that are helping us. May the Lord continue to bless you. And may he answer the petition of your heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I thank the Lord because there are things the Lord revealed to me last week. And I've been praying and waiting on the Lord for confirmation before I came on the Lord's hour and talk about them. And I thank God today, Brother Wells sent me a message. And when I saw what a confirmation someone else was saying, amen, I saw another confirmation. I'm like, wow, okay. And the Lord says to me in prayer to talk about these things. Amen. And we're going to go into them. Amen. We're going to begin in Daniel chapter 8, my brother and sister. We finished Daniel chapter 7. We did about three teaching about Daniel 7. And we're going to go ahead and begin this today. We'll continue with it Tuesday night, my brother and my sister. Because the information God provided us there over 3,000 years ago, someone says 2,500 years ago, is so vital for today. It's just so important. My brother, my sister, thank you, Lord. And there are things going on that people are not aware, don't know they're happening. And so those are the things the Lord wants me to talk about tonight, my brother and sister. And I believe Daniel 8 will help us to begin this, my brother and my sister. Amen. And going to the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. I apologize. Praise you, Lord. Our children's schools are calling. Whenever there's a change, they'll call. Praise you, Lord. So it's just so important that, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bring these things that are happening that the Bible talks about, that the Lord wants us to be aware, be washing and praying. Shalom, Sister Wendy. Sister Regina, Brother Sarah, amen, the Lord's servant, Arlie, shalom, shalom to each and one of you, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. And the word of the Lord continued to come to pass even more when the Lord revealed me back in 2014 that before he comes at the end of my ministry, I will have more sister than brother following the ministry, supporting the ministry. And it's so incredible how Jesus is always right. And this is why he's at the right hand of Father, because he knows all things, my brother and sister. Amen. When he revealed me that, I was wondering about this because it was more brother than sister when he did reveal me this. Amen. But you always have to believe him. He knows everything. And he showed me that at the end time, before the sound of the trumpet, because then he showed me the rapture, the partial, the bride of Christ. After he has shown me in different vision, different view, is what I'm trying to say. The persecution, the difficult time we will go through, But they, by this time, when he showed me this, the power outages in this country were incredible. It looks to me like the economy has fallen, because I've seen people asking for help and food. And somehow we were helping them with whatever we can. My father and my sister. And, you know, there are things that I thought we were not going to go through. We were not going to see that I was seeing my brother and my sister before the rapture happened. And so, you know, always seeking from the Lord to understand more, because we don't know everything, my brother and sister, only the Lord. So if we don't understand something or don't know something, the best is to pray, fast, and seek the Lord to reveal us, my brother and sisters, to help us understand the things that are going to happen. Because there are things that are going to happen that a lot of people will have a lot of questions, my brother and my sister. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So always seek. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Shalom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. So Daniel 8, as I'm reading it earlier, I'm praying, I'm reading it. You know, as I'm praying, I know the Lord will show me, will help me understand things I don't know out of it, my brother and sister. I believe I there were certain things I got there that I began to get into my spirit. I felt the anointing coming on, and hallelujah, and the revelation of it. Daniel 8, verse 1 says, this is from the God's Word Translation Bible. God's Word Translation Bible. Amen. And I tell people, get used to, because we'll go into the Complete Jewish Bible, King James, God Translation Bible, Message Bible, and we'll go and we'll study His Word, because there are certain things in the Bible, certain Bible that explain things like in more detail that help you understand it better. My brother and sister, I believe this here does a great justice here. Daniel 8:1 said, in Belshazzar, third year of as king, I, Daniel, saw in a vision. Remember that when Daniel gets taken to Babylon as a slave, okay, in prison, captive, he, my brother and sister, the first king was King Nebuchadnezzar, okay? And then when Daniel gives you the name of the king and this timing, it's because king was being changed while he was there. Remember, he lasted there 70 years. It was what God told his people will be there, my brother and my sister, before they will come to the island and Messiah will show up and they will crucify him. Remember that? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And so I don't know how long it was after they came from Babylon to Israel, the promised land, the Messiah show up. I believe it was almost immediately, well, not immediately, because there was a time of dark ages, okay? And I did a little teaching about the dark ages on the earth before Christ arrived. My brother and sister, Jesus was the first light, the light of man that showed up, that they were like, wow, amen, powerful. Shalom, Sister Luna. And with the direction of the Lord, I got to pray, I got to fast. I want to ask the Lord if I can share the time of the dark ages, because I believe I have a lot of information about it, but I have to wait on the Lord before I share it, because some may be too strong for certain people, so I have to ask the Lord. And God was the one who led me to get the information, so I will share the information when I'm led to. Amen? But I believe... my brother and sister, Shalom, Brother Miguel. Daniel 8, we'll begin. So in Belshazzar, the third year as king, okay, Daniel saw a vision. The vision came after the one I saw earlier. What is he talking about here, the one he saw earlier? So we'll stay in the same page. Well, remember that what Daniel saw earlier, my brother and sister, a ram. Okay, he's talking about Daniel 7. That's what he saw earlier, that we did the Bible study. of Daniel 7, my brother and sister. Amen. The four beasts. Okay? And then after that, Daniel 7:23, he said the fourth animal will be the fourth kingdom on the earth. Okay? The fourth animal will be the first kingdom, if different from the other, which we know is Russia, Germany, Great Britain, and America. That's what we did on Daniel 7. I just want to remind you while we already studied about Daniel 7. Okay? Then it will devour and trample and crush the whole world. These four nations are so significant, my brother and sister, because they will devour the whole earth. God said, these words are for the last days. That's why it was told later to Daniel to seal the scroll, because these will be for the last days. If you want to know what's going to happen in the last day, you need to fast and pray for God to reveal you the book of Daniel, because it's all for the last days. My brother and my sister, amen. Thank you, Lord. Verse 24, the 10 horde or 10 king, and then it starts talking to you about the Antichrist, okay? And then verse 25, he will speak against the Most High, which is Revelation 13, confirmed by John the Apostle, John, or John the Revelator, as they call it, okay? And it will oppress the holy people of the Most High, which are the Jewish people, okay? The Antichrist will oppress the holy people, which is being done now. That's why Netanyahu right now is having a lot of problems, a lot of trouble. Because the nation that was supporting them for so many years, okay, one from that nation is oppressing them. And it's using Biden, okay, and Kamala Harris to oppress Israel. They're being oppressed by them right now, which is hard for Benjamin Netanyahu as a prime minister to lead his people. Thank you, Lord. Very important we understand. Okay, so press the holy people of the Most High, plan to change the appointed time and law. Look what the Antichrist is trying to do, my brother and sister. Change the time and law. Will this happen? I believe yes, it would happen. Okay, this is part of the Antichrist. Shalom, Joseph. Very important. Okay, I believe it will happen because this is his plan. Okay, to plan, and it will completely, I'm jumping here. Verse 26, but judgment will be handed down, his power will be taken away. So it's saying here that since his power, he will be handed down, his power will be taken away, it leaves you like, did he do it or not? Because he started doing it, he begins to do it. So in order for him to get it done, he's going to pass law to change time. This is the work of the Antichrist in the last days. And all these things are happening now. That's why you're seeing the change to the digital dollar, CBDC. Worldwide, three countries already changed to the digital dollar completely. 140 are working to get it done by June, July. It's just so incredible, so incredible how things are happening quickly. Amen. Where the bank that just went bankrupt in California, I asked the Lord if this was the beginning of it. He said, yes. He gave me in prayer a clear yes, which I was surprised and shocked. Clear yes. If this was the beginning of our nation, which everyone knows the world is changing quickly, okay, their change has already begun. Some people call it bankruptcy coming, financial collapse coming, things like that, my brother and sister. And so ask the Lord whether he wants you to have your $25 saving into. And the Lord will lead you to. The Lord will guide you to, my brother and sister. But, you know, you can keep it in credit union for now. But eventually, because the Lord showed me this was shown to me by Jesus. Okay, we're going to have to pray for food because we will not be able to purchase food. And it's not because we will not have money. It's because the system are going to change completely and the requirement will be fully RFID and fully vaccinated. It's coming. It is coming. I don't want you to think that I'm bringing fear here. No, it's not about fear. I'm sorry if you think I'm preaching fear. Lord, I repent if I'm preaching fear in Jesus' name. And I ask you to repent the same. I ask the Lord to give you his shalom, his peace into your life. It's about being informed biblically, knowing what's happening by the word of God and by dream and revelation. That's what it's all about, being informed, well informed by the Bible, truthfully informed by the word of God. That is what it's all about in the last days. God wants us to be informed. God wants us to know what is going to happen in the months to come. And for that, we go into the word and we ask God, he'll give us dream and revelation. And then we're fully aware. We know what's going to happen before it happened. And those that have been following this program know for years that everything that is beginning to happen now is not a surprise to us because we've been talking about these things. Amen. We're being informed. God's been revealing to us what is coming. And that is what it's all about. We keep repenting daily. We keep confessing our sin daily to Jesus. We keep asking him to cleanse us with his blood. We repent, pride, and unbelief every day. We seek him. We fast every week. My brother and sister, we are trusting in the Lord and not leaning in our own understanding. As the word of God says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and do not lean on your own understanding. That is wisdom. That is wisdom. And that's what we're doing. We're being wise as the 10th version were bride or five. My brother, shalom, drunken. Very important that we be wise. In the last day, we need to be wise. Wise is make right decision for our life, for our family. And that includes financially. My brother says spiritually. Amen. Spiritually, always be on first. But even with the little money we have, we need to make right decision. My brother insisted. We don't want our $25 in a bank account to disappear tomorrow because we might need it for food. Give you an example. See what I'm saying? So we need to be wise. My brother insisted. Very important to being wise. Okay? So it's being told to Daniel in Daniel 7:26. By judgment will be handed down, his power will be taken away, and he will be completely and permanently destroyed, okay? The kingdom alone with the power and greatness of other kingdom under the heaven shall be given to the holy people, the Most High. Their kingdom is eternal, and all the power will serve and obey them, okay? The only kingdom that is going to last forever is the kingdom of Messiah, okay? So we need to be in the word of Messiah, the word of God, before Messiah comes back, and we need to be studying his word, researching it, probably my sister, before Messiah returns. Amen? And then Daniel said, here's the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was terrified by the thought, and I turned pale, and I kept this to myself. We cannot keep this to ourselves. That's why we still to Daniel to write it in a scroll, write it in a book, as a translation said. But it was a scroll in the times of Daniel. Daniel, write it in a scroll because it's for your people. But it's not for your timing. It's for the end times. Amen, which is very important. We know and understand. So in Daniel 8 now, it begins with Daniel being it's still in Babylon because they were there for 70 years. But not under the ruling of King Belshazzar. And he saw in a vision after, then the one I saw earlier, my vision, I saw myself in a fortress of Susa in the province of Elam. I researched this online, and it says that this is in the south of Iran. Okay? In that area there, right now, Iran had built a military fortress. Military fortress, my brother and sister, under those mountains, okay, and that's south part of Iran. They have built a stronger military forces they ever had with the help of Russia, who has given them AI in China. These military warehouses are building weapons 24 hours, nonstop. Missiles and so much more. Drones and so much more. Better than almost anyone, my brother and sister. Now, going into Russia a little bit, because I want to talk about them later on. My brother and sister, this past week, and the 6th of this month, Russian general was celebrating, my brother and sister, were conducting a celebration where they opened up the wine bottle, they were all celebrating, okay? And when I went online, I researched what the celebration was about, and it's that there's second-generation drones that were made over 40 years ago back in the 80s has done very successfully in Ukraine, my brother and sister. They have fought for over 4 months, and newer weapons of the United States and NATO has now been able to bring them down. Successfully, last week, 2 weeks ago, with the help of NATO and the U.S., they brought down 13, which brought them down to 23 out of 65. When Russia began this 4 months ago, they sent 65 second-generation drones. They have up to 17 generation drones. But when the Russian Union, my brother and sister, when Russia was Russia, as they said back in the 80s and 70s, the Soviet Union, they made these drones, and it was the last drone they made. They had a first and second generation. In the first few months, the first generation drone was destroyed. Okay? A lot of these drones, the people that made them, some of the people are dead already. That's how old they are. This second generation of drone that they send out, they were celebrating for over 4 months. United States and NATO and Ukraine have sent everything practically they have against these drones. It had not been able to bring them, all of them, down as the Russians expected them to last a few months, because they believe the third generation of drones, in the way the second generation drone had last, will last a year or more. Some believe 2 years fighting in Ukraine. They have 65 third generation of drones waiting for the second generation drone to be destroyed so they can go in action right away. But these third generations are more advanced, have better everything in it, and they believe they will be very successful because of what the second generation drone has done. And they were celebrating as I was watching and I was reading the letter as it was being translated from Russian, my brother and sister. It's just so incredible how they're focused on their success in Ukraine, but not only there, my brother and sister, they have already begun with a newer drone to attack certain countries of NATO. Georgia, which is part of NATO, they had destroyed military bases and communication in those places, which is stunning. When I saw this online through a live channel through India, as the information was coming in, I was stunned because this is not coming in our media. It's all hidden, my brother and sister, and it's sad. And it's exactly what the Lord has been saying through his prophet, that his people are asleep, that his enemy already conquering much, and people don't even know and don't realize. After I watched this, I closed the page online, and I said, Lord, you are so right. When he has said that his people are asleep, and that Russia has gone beyond Ukraine, is already attacking certain point of NATO across Europe, but it's not being reported. As the governor of Georgia was being interviewed about this and said, no one is stopping Russia, my brother and sister. And so the Indian Life Channel, they were showing the drones coming out of NATO country after successfully conducting their attack there. My brother and sister, I saw this. I was stunned by seeing it in the news because this is something not being reported here. And I was like, how can they not report this here? But it's exactly what the Antichrist is doing. My brother and sisters, all these things that are supposed to be on our news are being kept hidden. My brother and sisters, and it's stunning when you find this information through links that they themselves are being blocking, so people will not have this information. But God is good. My brother and sisters. So he says that Daniel said that in my vision, I saw myself in the Ulain Gate. I was thinking, what is Ulain Gate? And I had to study, I had to research this. I said, let me find out. And it's the River Gate, my brothers and sisters. The River Gate, this River Gate is important because it's how the Marines can go to and fro. It's how they bring their weapons to Marines vessels, my brothers and sisters. We should read it. And unless you look up the word Ulain, which is mean river, from the Hebrew, my brother and sister, to our language, that's what led me to, wow, okay, this is incredible. Okay, the River Gate, my brother and sister, he says, as I looked up and I saw a single ram, hallelujah, standing beside the gate, okay? And as I'm going researching this, okay, this ram, my brother and sisters, that is standing beside the gate, I looked up the ram with a symbol of the ram, and the ram is tied to China. Then I kept researching because I said, I got to find more information about this ram that is tied with China, that in the religion of China, the ram is very significant to them because it's like victory to them. My brother and sister. So as I look up the symbol, China came up, tied to the ram. But this ram has something that caught my attention as I kept reading. My brother and sister, the ram has two long horns, one longer than the other. My brother and sister. So now I'm interested in this ram. Now I want to know more about this ram that has two horns, but one is longer than the other. My brother and sister, because this ram signifies battle, war, nation against nation, as Jesus said in Matthew 24. Why is one longer than the other? Is that one has longer reach than the other. One can do more harm than the other. My brother and sister, so say, okay, one do more harm than the other because it's longer than the other. Then the longer one has grown up later. So the longer one keeps growing. It's getting more rich. Military has more power. It keeps growing even more. It's getting more powerful. It got longer reach. My brother and sister. And I saw the ram charging the west. This ram is charging the west. So I began to research the west in this location of my ram. So I said, it's not pointing to this country because the gate at the river, if we tied it down to the west, it's pointing to the United States. It's not pointing to the European country because that's why the Ulain River is being given to us first as a point of reference. It's as I look to the point of reference, it's really pointing to the Navy of the United States coming through there. My brother and sister, which has been used before anyway. Okay? Remember when they attacked Iraq in 92? They came by Kuwait. They came by the sea first, by the south. Excuse me, of Iraq. And when I looked at the meaning of this vision of Daniel, of Alam, it also means by the south of Iraq, that which was the U.S. military, Kuwait, south of Iraq, that's how they came to attack Iraq. When Saddam Hussein decided back in 91, 92 to attack Kuwait, where all the oils are, which belong to the United States, my brother and sister. So all that information I was getting as I'm researching this, and I'm beginning to understand what's been happening over the year, my brother and sister, but it's pointing also to the south of Iran, where Iran now has a stronghold, my brother and sister, pointing to the river of Ulay, which is the gate of the river. Now it's the northern part of Iraq, south of Iran, where the river gate will be. So it's giving us all this information for the last days, my brother and sister, that the West will come by this gate of the river, the U.S. Navy, my brother and sister, the West, okay? The North and South and the other animal can stand in front of it. Now it's pointing that the North, Russia, will also be involved in this battle, in this fight, my brother and sister. Notice how it's being revealed to Daniel, the ram charging from the west, north and south, no other animal can stand front it, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. So it's pointing really Russia, United States, China, north is Russia, and south is charging in this direction. According to this, that no other animal could stand in it, so there were other animals coming through the north and coming to the south. The United States, when they came to Iraq, they came through the south back in 91, 92. That's how the Navy came in, and even the Army. My brother insisted that no one can escape from its power and that anything to please and continue to grow. My brother insisted. So Russia, China, and them, and Iran, who has a stronghold here, they're fighting there. It's a brutal fight. So it's either that United States and Iran goes to fight, and then Russia and China support Iran, and then that becomes brutal, my brother and sister. United States still takes the post that they took back in 91, 92 as they came through Kuwait, my brother and sister. The United States still have forces in Iraq, south of Iran, my brother and sister. But pointing to the Ulay River, which is the gate of the river, it tells you how severely this is going to be because that's in the south of Iran or the southeast. Iran, which is pointing to the West, I'm sorry. So United States, the West, will be using all that area to attack through Iraq. They're going to attack Iran. And Russia and China will support Iran, which we already know this in the last days. And Daniel said that no other animal could stand for it. No one can escape from his power. And that in anything to please and continue. Which I believe the power here is being given to China in this regard. It gets support, yes, from the North and from China. I'm sorry, and from Iran, because Iran is the one country standing there. So that's going to make Iran stronger. So actually it's Iran who will be stronger because they get the Russian and China's support. My brother and sister, so the fight's going to be brutal, okay? Then Daniel said, as I was watching closely, okay, as we said, this is interesting. I got to get a better look at this, okay? He saw a male goat coming from the west, and it crossed the whole earth without touching it. I want you to see this. I want you to see this. How God can speak to us. And unless we ask for him to help us understand closely, this male goat that is coming from the west, my brothers and sisters, this is the force of the United States crossing the whole earth without touching it. Prophetically, this is a fight of the Nephilim in the last day also, fallen angels. Okay? But look how it's describing the United States having the power over the air. United States planes, F-16, F-17, F-22, Bible insisted, the power of the United States is over the air. And Daniel saw this. When he saw it coming from the west, saw the force
Comment, followers, subscribe us to go, my brothers and sisters, across the whole earth without touching it. That's air. That's air. That's flying over the air. That's sending the plane over the air, my brothers and sisters. So it's describing this battle that is happening and how they're coming about to get there. And the only way the United States can come in there is by the air. That's how they did it in Iraq back in 91, 92. My brother and sister. And the goal had a prominent horn between his eyes, which I studied the horn. I wanted to know more about this horn, or the significance and meaning of the horn, my brother and sister. And the horn, some believe, is a sign of strength, but it's also a sign of division. Or something that is to be established. By this time, United States is not so established anymore. Okay? The horn that is coming from the West, the goat, has a horn between the eyes. Or has a longer horn. But I feel it's just between the eyes. This is not normal. Now, let's talk about normal. Horn is supposed to be above the eyes, two of them, right? That's normal. A goat, a horn, on top of the head, two of them. That's normal. That's what we know. When you see a goat, that's how you see it. That's normal. When it's now between the eyes, this is not normal now. This is not normal. Okay? So, between the eyes, there is the Antichrist in it, the Babylonian system in it, in the United States. This goat is coming with the Antichrist, my brother and sister, help Babylonian system. It's not normal anymore. We know that in the United States, it's not normal anymore. Men marry men, women marry men. Abortion rampage, my brother and sister, violence now. And everything is being shaken. So this is not normal. What's been happening here is not normal. As a nation is identifying the Bible as not being normal. It has a horn between their eyes. That's not normal. If you have animal and you invite me to your land and I see a goat with a horn between the eyes, I tell you, you got to take that horn out. That's not normal. Something bad is happening here. And that's kind of what that is. My brother and sister, this nation has a horn between their eyes in the last days. It's not standing right. Not standing right. Okay? Now, let me share the test that I said, Brother, I will share. He sent me today. Thank you, Lord. Okay? He says, hi, brother. I had a dream last night. Very interesting place. I was in a place that looked like a really big room. Like a room made from a celebration. Maybe a chamber, and it was dark, and everyone was gathered together. Then, Brother Abby, you were there, and you were speaking on the book of Revelation. I believe it was Revelation either 13 or 14 in the dream. Then Jesus showed up in this chamber. He was wearing his golden crown, again, full of lights. He lit in the room with his light. And I saw everyone in white clothing, candles in their hand, and with one flame. And I asked in the spirit what this means. And the Lord said it means people who have the Holy Spirit, which I remember. Everyone was in place in this chamber. Everyone was already in the chamber. And it was time to move to the next thing. Jesus wanted us to do, he said, everyone in the room was part of the group of people that was special and were elect. Then I saw that that the waiting was done in the chamber and that Jesus was starting to show us how to defeat our enemy like in a war, like in a battle. He was preparing us now, teaching us, getting us ready for the big battle that is about to take place. Shalom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Miguel. That whore means shame. Shame. Thank you. That's very... Thank you, Lord. So, the rapture, departure of the bride of Christ is about to take place. Not much is going to happen. The three signs message that Jesus said to me in heaven, those are mine, are going to happen so quickly that some people are going to wake up and say, wow, they already happened. Boom, 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 judgment. So when you say, Brother Elvie, is the judgment going to happen before we go home? The answer is yes, but they're going to happen so quickly. My brother and sister, the bride don't have much, but we're being prepared for a battle. Because remember the message, the revelation Jesus is giving us returning back with Jesus at the end of the 7 years as a soldier of Christ to fight. My brother and sister, we're fighting this nation and other nations, but what comes out of the ground here? Mixed army that, my brother and sister, hallelujah, they will happen quickly is what I meant to say. Tsunami, earthquake, they're going to happen quickly. It can happen today, the other one tomorrow, or today or next week. They're going to happen quickly. My brother and sister, some can happen. Some people were confused because it can happen both in the same day. Okay, and they said, wow, it happened so quickly. And then huge destruction, my brother and sister, like we never seen before in this country. Okay? Praise you, Lord. We saw in Turkey what happened. They had an earthquake that destroyed Turkey practically. The following week, they had another one. People were shocked. How can you get an earthquake 1 week after another? All right, you still have people under the building that they were taken out, thousands of them. And then you get another earthquake the following week. It was like, people in Turkey was like, what in the world is this? Why are we being destroyed so severely? And that's basically what is coming. My brother and sister, if it happened within a week or in a day from each other, that's, hallelujah, that's too much, as we say. Because they're still taking the children's body from under all those buildings, our life. I mean, there was a child there that almost lasted the second earthquake, alive. And nobody knew how. Because the human body can only stay without food for 7 days, without water for 3 or 4 days, I believe is what they say. And they took that child alive almost a week later, and they were like, in Turkey, my brother and sister, I saw this on television. People were crying and praising God, and wow, what a miracle. My brother, he waited almost for the second earthquake there. My brother and sister, it's terrible, the images and the video, the things you see. But people don't imagine that things happen this way, but they do. The fact of the matter is that they do. My brother and sister, we need to be ready that when they do happen. So thank you, Brother Will. Yes, the rapture of the bride of Christ, that I saw ourselves from the first chamber to the second one where the bride is about to be married. And that's the second place of the wedding, my brother and sister. That's incredible. That's how everything it is. And the Lord is about to take his bride out. Soon as these signs happen, which will happen quickly, and then people say, what? And the trumpet will sound. Yes, we still got 3 days of darkness coming. My brother and sister, a lot of Christians don't believe they're going to see the 3 days of darkness. They think it's after. But I'm going to tell you something. We get a glorified body in the 3 days of darkness. And those that are going to evangelize after. Not everyone is, though. We got to make sure that we explain things. It's like when I was saying of those that are coming down to the millennium, I remember the Lord speaking to me and saying, please, the Lord says, make sure to tell my children that not all of them are coming down to the millennium. Okay? And no, the 3 days of darkness are for the, yes, beasts are going to be released on the earth. But this is not when they're going to turn into world war. This is something that happened like in Egypt when you read it. My brother and sister. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, thank you, Lord. I believe I just heard the Lord say that's the way it's going to happen. Thank you, Jesus. So it's very important that we understand that the 3 days of darkness, where the beasts are going to be released according to Egypt, and then thank you, Lord, then the righteous glorified body and goes out to evangelize by the leading of Jesus. Jesus is coming down to meet us or for us to have a meeting during the 3 days of darkness. Remember that this happened in Egypt also. God said to Moses, that while the angel of death was coming down to Egypt, he was going to pass through. I share that verse here on the Lord's Hour. So the angel of death was coming down. So was God. So was Messiah coming down. Lord said yes. So please read that in your Bible. Research that. It's there. Back in Exodus. My brother says, so the angel of death and the Lord and God. He said he would. God will never let the angel, the devil come and try to do harm to his people without him being there. He said to his disciple, I will always be with you. And that's, he's coming. Okay. So during the 3 days of darkness, Jesus will call us out. And immediately we get a glorified body by the calling of Jesus. He's going to call us by name. And this meeting that he's calling us into, those that he's going to use for the revival, which he says, you are one of my chosen ones for the revival, Jesus says to me. Because I was asking the Lord that why I wanted to go home. I didn't want to wait until the revival. And the Lord says, my son, you are chosen. I have chosen you to be part of the revival, he says. And I said, okay, Lord. And he showed me being there. Okay, so, okay, glory be to Jesus. He wants me there. He's going to give me credit for that, reward for that. Awesome. I'll be doing the will of God in this revival, my brother and sister. So it's awesome. We get a glorified body. He'll send us out to evangelize his family that he knows very well and that he wants to save. Because the thing with him and Father is about saving lives, salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the plan of God to humanity. Because they don't get another chance of salvation. They don't get it unless God uses Jesus, his son. See, Father wanted to save the world. And the only way Father knows securely, for surely, in which the world can be saved is through his son Jesus. There's no other way. That's why there's no other savior. Father cannot use Muhammad or Buddha or Namadan. That's the light of the devil. Okay? He can only use his son. The name of his son means salvation. He is the only savior of this earth. There's not another savior but him. You need to understand this. So Father, in order to save humanity, he has to use his son, from which he made all things also. He made us through Christ. By him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made. My brothers, that's John 1. You can read it. Please read it. You need to understand who Jesus is, my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord. So Daniel says that the gold had prominent horn between his eyes, and the gold was coming toward the two-horned ram. My brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Remember that it says that he was coming to the two ram that has been standing beside the gate. This is how the ram came, through the gate, through the Yule River. All the Marines and forces came through there, my brother and sister, through that river gate. And I saw it coming closer to the ram, and the gold was extremely angry at the ram. Why is China so extremely angry at the United States? I don't know. Are they having trading problems? Who knows? They're having problems some way, somehow. Are they having technology problem? Can you find that in the news today that China and United States are having technology problem? You can find it all over the news. Are they having trading problem? You can find it all over the news. One is really angry at the other. China is really angry at the United States. You can find that all over the news. So I saw coming closer to the ram. So the goat was extremely angry with the ram and attacked the ram and broke both of the ram horn. It's going to be furiously. This battle that is coming. I believe Sister Celestia said that she saw a fight that started to break between Iran and the United States. She didn't see the ending. She didn't see what happened afterward. But as you see here in Daniel, of course, Iran has the support of China and the support of Russia. And it's the only way Iran is going to stand against the United States. We know that in the last day very well. This is not something that I need to go around asking the general here where they have a chance. The only chance is Russia and China support them. My brother insisted. Amen? So we know this is coming. And the ram didn't have the strength to stand up against the goat. So the ram was thrown down on the ground and trampled. No one can rescue the ram from the goat's power. Listen. Sister Celestia had another dream from the Lord. And saw two animals beating another one. I forget what the was it, elephant? I can't remember the animal she was talking about. But the two animals were beating on one severely. Well, here it is in Daniel. The ram didn't have strength to stand against the goat. Remember that when Daniel sees the ram earlier, the ram was strong. United States strong. You're like, wow. It's strong. It's coming to the River Gate. It's Navy. It's coming through the water. It's coming through the south of Iraq. It's same thing that they did in Iraq. They bombed Iraq. They took them out quickly in a week, practically. I mean, this is a strong nation. But now, as they're facing the goat now, Marvel is fixing the nation that are stronger, okay? The ram was thrown down to the ground and trampled. No one can rescue the ram from the goat's power. What is that? Where is NATO in all this? No. Bible says no one, no NATO, no friends, no friendship. Where's the friendship on NATO? Where's the support of NATO to support this ram? My brother, no. That's what the Lord showed through Sister Celestia. When the United States, Russia, and China, and Iran goes against the United States, NATO's not going to get in it. Well, here it is. They're not going to get in it, my brother and sister. They're staying away. So the male goat became very important. And when the goat became powerful, the larger horn broke off. He is with the Antichrist. The Antichrist is so deceiving. The devil is so deceiving. Because he'll gather these nations to do this and bring the United States under. But then when the other nation think, oh, look what we did and all that later on, what does? He break the horn. He break their power, their ability to do what they did to this nation. My brother, this is why we can only trust in the Lord and him only. If you try to trust in men and nation, no, people will be doomed. Because the devil is behind the Antichrist in the Babylonian system that is going on now more than ever. Look what he's doing. Changing the natural dollar that everyone knows, coin and dollar, to CBDC, digital dollar. There was a movie I was watching the other day, Christian movie. This movie was made, I believe, more than 6-7 years ago. What they're showing in the movie is this guy had a cell phone. It was a movie about the rapture. And these men came and took his cell phone, made him sign into the cell phone, and took all his million through the cell phone. Because the digital dollar, this is exactly what they're going to do. Your digital dollar is going to be on your cell phone. So if someone comes and breaks into your house and says, where's your cell phone? finds your cell phone and put a gun to you and say, sign into your cell phone, they can transfer all the money you have, because it's all digital, into their bank account through your cell phone. And I would say, wow, they're making it so easy for the thief to steal. And what the devil's doing is making it easier for himself to take people's money, my brother and my sister. Terrible. His plan is evil and terrible. Okay? So the large horn was broke off. His place grew up four horn. What you read earlier, these four horn represent four nations. What four nations are coming after that? Okay? He's going to use four nations. My brother and sister. The way the Lord revealed this is the celestial this way. South Korea and North Korea will join China. Japan will join China. My brother and sister. All these places that are separated now are going to join China. And then Canada, Australia, and all this, they will be on standby, but some have to choose a side because four nations will be the stronger. And those are the four last nations, four horn that the Antichrist is going to use. But as we keep reading in Daniel, we'll see horn being broken, kingdom being replaced. That's why we're going to continue all the way to Daniel 12 in this Bible study. Because we got to continue to study this horn. You're going to see a horn being broken and another horn growing up again as leaders are being killed and leaders are being replaced. I told you that I saw Obama being taken a shot. I saw him in a casket as Michelle Obama was standing next to the dead body. I saw President Putin being taken a shot by a sniper also. Leaders are going to be replaced. And some other leader will be put in their, be put in their place. My brother and sister. So incredible how they're planning to put people in the places of people that are now, that are thinking, oh, we're winning, we're, you know, we'll be in control. Nonsense and foolishness. Once the devil sees that one of them is not serving them right, he'll replace them and put someone else. And that person who's not repenting will end up in hell, practically. That's what that is, my brother and sister. So in a place grew a four horn, okay? He had a horn very strong, now it's four. And it's corresponding to the four winds of the heaven, my brother and sister. The four winds of the heaven. Now look how significant it is, okay? Hallelujah, because only heaven controls the four winds of heaven. But I looked up the four winds of heaven, and Jeremiah 49:36, it will bring the four winds from the four corners of heaven against Elam and scatter his people in every direction, and there won't be a nation where Elam refuge won't go, my brother and sister. Elam is so strong now, has the support of China and Russia, but God has said to the prophet Jeremiah that it will come a time that they're not going to be strong anymore. How do you like that now? They're trusting on the devil, the Antichrist, they're throwing money, as they say, the 12 Elam. The Antichrist, their Antichrist, their Messiah. And all of a sudden, someone get replaced. They're not so strong anymore. They're trusting on the devil. He will remove them. My brother and sister, it's just so sad. Hallelujah. But look how specific God is, Daniel 7:2. In my vision of my eye, Daniel saw the four winds of heaven stirring up the Mediterranean Sea. Okay? Large navy they have. Okay? China, Russia's navy, and the Mediterranean Sea, exactly where Iran, Russia, and China got their navy today, right now, as we're speaking. The word of God is so awesome. You just got to see. Right now, as we're speaking, they got their navy there. Their power, their strength is there right now, covering the whole sea, the Mediterranean Sea. My brother and sister, there's nothing new under the sun. We just got to study God's word. Daniel 8:8. So the male goal becomes very important. Who's becoming very important today in the last day? My brother and sister, that later on that horn will be broken? President Putin. Very important to be coming today. He had no idea that he'll be broken soon. He'll be no more. Babylon insisted. Their leader is not going to be replaced. Our leader very soon is going to be replaced by a woman, Sister Celestial, Gashel Sister Celestial. Our leader in this country is about to die and be replaced, according to the dream of Sister Celestial. And we'll be replaced by a woman, temporarily though, temporarily. Remember the Lord told me to pray for Donald Trump, which some people did not agree? Well, Donald Trump today is the leader in the poll, 40%, you say, above everyone else. My brother and sister, I'm still praying for him. So the Lord told me to pray for him. My brother and sister. You see that Jesus is always right. You cannot disagree with God, even if your opinion is different. Even if you say, but I don't know, I don't agree Donald Trump coming back into office. You can't say no to God. He came to me, told me to pray for Donald Trump. Even when a lot of people stop praying for him. My brother and sister. The Lord is always right. He's always right about everything. My brother and sister, he's incredible. Now, Daniel 11:4, which we're going to go on later in our Bible study. But as soon as he is established, his kingdom will be broken into peace and divided. Oh, is the devil, he loves to replace people. He gets them to agree with him. And then later on, boom, he replaces them. My brother and sister, in his kingdom. He always wants to be the head. The dragon always wants to be the head. He replaces man. These are men leading nation. He replaces. That's part of his plan and agenda. He's not going to leave them for long. They're thinking right now how they're winning, how their planet is coming through. And they don't know they're about to be replaced. My brother and sister, let's end the word of God. It's incredible. Zechariah 2:6. Hurry, hurry, flee from the land of the north, declare the Lord. I scatter you from the four winds of heaven. Hallelujah. He told them to get out of Russia, because in there, points from the direction Russia. God told them to Zechariah, get out of Russia. Get out from the land of the north. Get out of there. How many Jews were there? Now, you want to see how accurate God's word is? The Jewish people really, really started getting out of Russia right when the Soviet Union came down, in end of the 80s, beginning of 90s, my brother and sister. Okay? No one ever thought that through a man, President Reagan, God will use to bring the Soviet Union divided, bring it down practically, my brother and sister. And that's exactly what happened. But that's when the Jewish people saw the big open door to go to the land of Israel. And you can see, you can look up on television, fly after fly leaving Russia, are Jewish people going back to the promised land. So you see that this word is for the last days. Hurry, hurry, free from the land of the Lord, declare the Lord. I scatter you to the four winds of heaven. See? My brother and sister, God scattered them. But God says, hurry, hurry. There's still a cry by rabbis in Israel, telling the Jewish people across the world that there's still a few left, hurry, hurry to get back to the promised land. Hurry, hurry to come back to the land of Israel. That's the cry of the rabbi. That's what the Lord said through the prophet Zechariah. My brother and sister, this word is just so accurate, so accurate. I see it and I'm like, wow. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 9. Out of one of the horn came a small horn. Remember that the horn represents leader. Leader, my brother and sister. Another leader comes out of this horn, okay? And they gain power over the south. Praise the Lord. South will be considered Syria, Egypt, my brother and sister. Okay? And now, look at the compass of the word of God compared to our compass today. It gained power over the southeast of the beautiful land. That's the land of Israel, in case you wonder what's the beautiful land. You might find that two or three times in the book of Daniel, the beautiful land. I believe the other one is Daniel 11. It gained power over the south, east of the beautiful land, pointing to the land of Israel, to the south of the land of Israel, Syria, Libya, Damascus, Syria, Egypt. Those nations in the last days are going to become very powerful, very strategic, because there's a lot of gold in Egypt today, untouched, unused, gold temple there, Catholic gold temple, used to say it, and much gold is buried there that you can take a shovel and dig it out, and some you don't even need a shovel. The earth has so much need today, even people in Egypt, and there's so much gold in Egypt. But Daniel said that the Antichrist is going to go to Egypt and take that gold. He's going to take that gold, my brother and sister. I've seen old movie of temple in Egypt completely made by gold, my brother and sister. So this is nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. It is just there waiting for someone to take it. Who's going to take it? The Antichrist. But somehow, like it's happening today, Egypt is becoming very strong and powerful. My brother and sister, we know what's been happening in Syria and Libya, in Syria mostly. It gained power over the southeast in the beautiful land. And continued to gain power until it reached the army of heaven. My brother and sister, referring to the Jewish people. Continue to gain power until it reached the army of heaven. Hallelujah. Now, again, the army of heaven, the army of God, my brother and sister. Had Syria was being bombed by the United States and Israel for so many years now, in Egypt now, I guess they joined together, they gained power now against Israel, my brother and sister, in the last days. Very interesting. Okay? And through some of the army of heaven, the stars down to the ground and tramp on them. How is that possible? You tell that to the Jewish people, they won't believe you. My brother and sister, how are they going to gain power? You know for how many years now Iran is trying to get their missile into Syria and empower the Syrian army, the Assad army, Assad, the leader of Syria? Now when all these nations are joining together, Russia, China, and Iran, Syria is going to be able to become powerful with the support also of Egypt, because they're making the coalition now. The BRICS market that they're putting together, my brother and sister, is very, very strong. I was listening last night to a video out of Africa, president of Africa, and it was about how China had purchased in Africa 231,000 acres of land. And it is because China is buying from Africa all these mineral that they can use to make the battery in China. China is making 70% of the battery of the world right now for electric car. And battery that are being used in drones, Humvees, and so much more government equipment. They're being made in China, 70% of the world battery, my brother and sister. So that's a lot. That is a lot. And most of those minerals are coming out of Africa. Now, the president of Africa was accused years ago, my brother and sister, of corruption. The United States decided to stay away from him and put in sanction on the president of Africa. But the sanction that the United States put on the president of Africa affected the people of Africa, the president of Zimbabwe. So it affected the people so much, people hardly had any food to eat, hardly any clothing. It was really severely. Then came China, their friend. And so the president, the leader, we want to invest in your country. We need your mineral. You can sell it to us. And invested over $290 billion a year into this part of the country. Now they're pushing the United States aside, and they just want China coming to them. my brother and sister. And now Russia is also involved in this. So now the country wants to join the BRICS, which they've been friends with the United States for so many years, but now they're saying, no, we want to be independent. They want to join China. My brother and sister, I was watching the video last night, because everything they were saying, I thought it was so interesting, because that's biblical for the last days. That's what's in the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelation, that they will be doing. And they're doing that exactly what the word of God said they will be doing. My brother and sister, all these nations coming together as one in the last days. My brother and sister, and they are coming into one accord, Psalm 83. And that accord is dangerous for the Jewish people. But God is going to protect them and deliver them from their hand, my brother and sister. God, David prayed, arise, O Lord, arise. He's praying for his people. We need to be doing the same. We need to be praying for the Jewish people, because these nations are coming together in one accord. And the end of all this is to come against with the great army of the land of Israel. But kings right now are being removed, and kings are going to be removed, my brother and sister. Verse 11, then it attacked the commander of the army, so that it took the daily burnt offering from him and wrecked his holy place. They want to go to the land of Israel. You see how they're coming together, and they're making their army, their forces. They're also coming against Israel. My brother and sister, they stopped the sacrifice. That is the third temple. So that means some of this is happening now, but most of it happens during the 7 years great tribulation that you and I are not going to see. It's good to read it in the Bible, being informed, but we're not going to see most of the things that are going to happen here. My brother, because the daily sacrifices in the third temple that's going to be happening. Verse 12, in a rebellionist that was giving an army to put the stuff to the daily burnt offering, and it threw the true underground, which is the Bible, the Torah, and the Herm was successful in everything he did. Man, when you read that, you're like, oh, being successful against the Jewish people. Because he's now in the temple of God. As God, as the Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonians, he's going to ascend in the temple of God as God. Well, here's the confirmation to the Apostle, through the prophet Daniel, our brother Daniel, my brother and sister. Isn't that incredible? Verse 13, then I heard a holy one speaking. Another holy one said to the one who was speaking, how long will this thing be in the vision? And the daily offering and the destruction rebellion surrender the holy place and the trampling of the army take place. How long is this going to take place? My brother and sister, I believe if you ask that question, it's like asking how long Revelation 19, when Jesus come back with his church to fight, how long would that take? 40 days, 10 days, 5 days? It's going to take whatever it's going to take, my brother and sister. I don't know this in a specific timing for what God is going to do in this time, my brother and sister. He told me for 230 evening and morning, and the Holy Spirit will be made acceptable to God. Notice that when it has to do with the Jewish people, God will give you in a specific time. God loves his people very much. He loves his people very, very much. 2,300 evening and morning. Those are days. And the Holy One place will be made acceptable to God. Amen. That is the end. That is the last 3 years of the Great Tribulation, practically. No, no. 360 days. Yeah, it's about 3 years and a half, my brother insisted. So they're wondering, when this happened, so in the middle of the Great Tribulation, he made the sacrifice stop. He sits in the temple of God as God. And Daniel sees this abomination that Jesus said in Matthew 24 of the desolation. The desolation is because nation against nation. They're launching missiles against Israel. It's a desolation. Buildings are being blown. Houses are being blown into pieces, my brother and sister. And the question that Daniel had is how long? Well, 3.5 years, Daniel. The last 3.5 years out of the seven is what's going to take for the Lord to complete and make it acceptable to God. Destroy it in, because God, the Lord's going to make a new temple. He's going to make the temple new and beautiful. He's giving us, the Jewish people, a new earth, a new temple. It's not going to be, Jesus is not going to establish his temple in this old earth, in this old Jerusalem. It's going to be in the new earth that he already has made for us. My brothers and sisters, for them that love him. Amen. Because the meek, Jesus said in Matthew 5, will inherit the earth. He had given them a new earth that they inherit, that they receive as a reward from God. My brothers and sisters, the meek will inherit the earth. It's an inheritance that they're going to get from God, a new earth, because Jesus said, I make everything new. He cannot, thank you, Lord, for this. He cannot give us this earth, old earth that will be destroying, ugly, horrible, with all kinds of nuclear weapons going up during the Great Tribulation to his people. Because he himself said, I make all things new. The new earth, where we're going, my brother and sister, where dwelleth the righteous, the prophet Isaiah said, has to be new. Because Jesus said, I make all things new. My brother and sister, where dwelleth the righteous, where the meek will inherit the earth. Everything will be new, as Jesus said, I make all things new. New earth, new Jerusalem, new temple. My brother and sister, and that's why only the new creature can go into the new. My brothers and sisters. Because Jesus said you cannot put old wine, you cannot put new wine into an old vessel. You have to put it in a new vessel. If you put it in an old vessel, the old vessel will break. My brothers and sisters, this earth cannot withstand the power of God, the power that is coming from heaven for 1,000 years. It has to be, according to that parable of Jesus, you cannot put new wine in an old vessel. It has to be new. So the earth has to be new to withstand the glory that is coming from heaven for 1,000 years. My brothers and sisters, this earth cannot withstand the power of God at all. And Jesus is not going to set his foot on this dirty earth. Hallelujah. He is holy and righteous and pure. He's not going to contaminate himself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 15. Now as I, Daniel, watched the vision and tried to understand it, I saw someone who looked like a man standing in front of me. And I heard a man of Ulai, of the river gate, Ulai gate, call loudly, Gabriel, explain the vision to this man. I love it. Hallelujah. Explain it to him. Because the only way we're going to understand it is when God explains it to us. Amen. Gabriel knew very well, the Lord says to Gabriel, his messenger, Gabriel is a messenger, explain it to this man. Explain it to Daniel, my brother and sister. Because at this point, Daniel still had a lot of questions. Like you and I would have. How many questions we have today? So we're like Daniel. I mean, I feel so related to Daniel. Because we have a lot of questions. And Daniel had a lot of questions of what's going to come to pass, what's going to happen. My brother and sister. And he said to, the Lord says to Gabriel, explain it to him. Thank you, Lord. Gabriel came out beside me. And when he came, I was terrified and immediately nailed down. But he says to me, son of man, understand the vision, hallelujah, is about the end times. Hallelujah. I have heard Christians, okay, with high degree explaining Daniel. And one of the things that they do is that when they explain Daniel, you know, they explain it mostly in the past, very few about the end time. It's mostly in the past, my brother and sister. That very moment when they do that, I believe they miss to understand the revelation. And this is why Jesus says to me, men think that they can know my word without my help. And he says to me, that is impossible. Jesus says to me, I am the only one that revealed my word, he says. And this is why I had to ask the Lord to help me in the word. Because Jesus said it is impossible to know his word without his help. He needs to help us. Lord, help me. Help me, Jesus, to explain your word. Because there's no other way, my brother. So we'll be going. And so I heard, and I know why some people, when they come in and they hear me talking about this way, some will get out quickly because they say, what is he talking about? That was for Daniel's time. No, I'm sorry. Again, listen to what Gabriel says to Daniel. He says to me, son of man, understand the vision. It's about the end time. So why did they say it was for Daniel's time or for the time in Babylon or for the Jewish people coming out of Babylon to Jerusalem, to Israel? No. This is for the time that you and I are in today. End time message. End time revelation. It is specifically for us. It is specifically for the nation that we're mentioning today that will come into the land. My brother and sister. That's why when I started Daniel 7, I look at the meaning, the symbol of the animal, the leper, Germany, the lion, Great Britain, the bear, Russia, the eagle, United States. Do you think that's accurate? Because I believe it's accurate 100%. But all glory be to the Lord, nobody else. My brother and sister, all glory be to the Lord. But I'm sure a lot of people disagree with me. But it's okay if they disagreed. All they need to do is go to the Lord about it, my brother and sister. Because the people said for you, where's the United States in the Bible? We got to ask the Lord to reveal it to us. Help us see it. Hallelujah, because now if we are going to depend on these people that went to college, my brother and sister was still talking about it in the past, when this is for the end time, my Lord, help us. So again, Gabriel says to Daniel, this is for the end time. As he spoke to me, I fainted face down on the ground. But he touched me and made me to stand up. He says, I will tell you what will happen in the last days. The time of God, anger, because the end time has been determined. Something that God has determined cannot be changed. My brother and sister. Especially because it's already written. And that's what Jesus said. It is written. It will come to pass. My brother and sister. And something is written. And this is when Jesus was questioned about his word. What did he say? Heaven and earth will pass. But not my word. This has to happen exactly how it's been revealed to Daniel. And nothing can be changed from it. But the Lord has to show us in the last days. How is this coming about? My brother and sister, the Ulay Gate is the river gate. That is specific to that part of the land, my brother and sister, from which the Navy will come through, my brother and sister. That was not in the time of Daniel the way it is today. That gate is today. It must have been just been made in less than 100 years. My brother and sister, it was not made in the time of Daniel, but it's made today. And it's called the River Gate, the Ulay, from the Hebrew, Ulay Gate, River Gate. Today, my brothers, which the Navy will come through. It's just the submarine Navy will come through, my brother and sister. It is so incredible how everything is set in place already. Okay? So he says, I will tell you what will happen in the last day, in the time of God's anger. Because the time has been determined, the two-horned ram that you saw represents the kingdom of Media and Persia. My brother and sister. Which, when you look, Media and Persia immediately takes you to Iran. My brother and sister. Okay? When you go, you can go and Google, what is the meaning of Media and Persia? My brother and sister, and you'll find, hallelujah, the northwestern of Iran. Okay? Look how the entrance is one way When Gabriel reveals it to Daniel, now it's in the northwestern map of the Institute. These are where all the strongholds today, as we're speaking, is where Iran has all the stronghold, Marvel insisted. It is so incredible how it is today in place when it was not there 100 years. Generally corresponding to modern Assyria, Kyrgyzstan, part of the Camellia, Iran, more information. And then, but it's Iran, pointing to Iran, Marvel insisted. You see, the word of God is so incredible. Medium Persia. The hairy male goat is the kingdom of Greece. Of Greece. Remember I said to you that in the Great Tribulation, part of this great army, we've done this in other Bible study, are going to be reinforced, re-guided by the fallen Naphtalians. Okay? Reinforced. We got it. The Antichrist and the fallen Nephilims are all going to join forces. Nephilims are loosened through CERN upon the earth, and they go out to do harm. They join the army of the Antichrist. And they will reinforce their own nation. Some of the Nephilim are going to claim their own nations, and they're going to reinforce the army of those nations, my brother and sister. So why is Greece mentioned here now? Because Greece is part of NATO now. It's in the European country, my brother insisted. Because one of the fallen ones that is very strong and very powerful, who's going to be released with his family, and that is Zeus, who always been in Greece. You can look up the Temple of Zeus, my brother insisted. Actually, archaeologists, they have a website, I believe, archaeologists.com. You can look it up, where they'll show you what they found not long ago. They found an underground, which is in Greece, out of the Temple of Zeus, my brother and sister. And you can see the stone image of Zeus and all his army, part of his army and all that, all completely still in shape that they don't comprehend, that this thing is so, and still the idol of Su is still in one piece. I was looking at it online a few days ago as I was doing this study. What was in Su? One Nephilim was in Su, was in Greece, I'm sorry, and Su is the one, Nephilim and sister, which I was stunned by the revelation. Okay. And he is one of the stronger Nephilims, my brother and sister, that got locked up. And he's going to be released to CERN. And he is coming to that place. I saw an image or a video, I believe it was online, how in Greece they have reconstructed the Temple of Zeus, mostly all gold, with everything he used to have, because they say there that they're waiting for Zeus' return. That they say he is about to return. I don't know how they know he is about to return, but that's what they say. Okay? And I believe so because the Great Tribulation, according to the Bible, is about to begin. My brother and sister. But I'm not going to get into that because there are the ministry that gets deeply into that. They have books about Sue. They got the name of Sue's wife, daughter, which are part of his army, which we talked about a little bit. Not going to go deep into that. Okay? And the name of his general, and so much more and all that, which I'm not going to go into that either, my brother and sister. And as they believe, can you imagine billions of dollars in gold temple? They reconstructed his temple, and people travel all over the world to go take photo and see him, which I believe is a waste of time, my brother and sister, in Greece today. And they feel so proud and happy for it. The world is just like in the inauguration of Biden, Pelosi, and then welcoming the God of America, which is another fallen Nephilims. It's horrible how these nations are pointing to these Nephilims, and they call them by name. The American Nephilims in Biden inauguration was being called by the priest. The priest that was doing the prayer called his name in Biden inauguration in 2020, my brother and sister. It is so incredible. And when they say praise him, Pelosi and all of them were praising him. They were not praising the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, Sister Lee Crystal. When I saw that online, it's still online somewhere on YouTube, because a lot of information had even been deleted 2 years ago, and there's already a lot of the information being deleted. My brother and sister, out of YouTube, remove things that they now they don't want people to know. But see, that's where people need to be close with God and seeking the Lord only, serving the Lord only. Because when you say these things are not happening, your leaders are worshiping fallen Nephilims, your governor, commander-in-chief, your house speaker. My brother and sister are worshiping fallen Nephilims and the vice president. This is what your nation is heading to. As people are sleeping, as people are calling us for profit, we're bringing this stuff out of the Bible. I've been teaching, before they worship that American fallen Nephilim that is coming soon to America, I was preaching that on the Lord Tower. Oh, you crazy, you for profit. You got to stop with this. Now, I should have played that prayer here, but I said, I know it's a for prayer they're doing to a for God. And they call him God. The God of America, the fallen Nephilim, they call it God, and they pray to him in the inauguration of Biden. I didn't see many people saying, oh, they should have not done that. No. I didn't see nobody complain. Why? Because before they can do that, they got most of the people vaccinated so they can control onto the computer server, and they cannot complain. God bless and sister. Only a few people can see it and be stunned by it. Plus, the Lord said his people are asleep. Those that saw it and heard it did not pay attention, say, I'm not going to listen to that. But it's the reality where our nations are heading. Greece already contracted the temple of Sue. Europe is already waiting for Sue and his wife and daughter. His general was his daughter and another. Terrible. And they call him by name on national television. And people hear that, oh, they'll change the channel. They'll change the channel. Oh, I don't believe that, but it's in the Word of God. God told us this would happen. My brother and sister. And that's why this Bible study. I didn't want to get into this. I said, you know, I'm going to avoid that as you're going to speak about the revelation, especially about Russia. And the Lord spoke to me and said, no, talked about it early in prayer. Strong words, talked about it. Because I wanted to avoid it. I wanted to leave it alone. My brother and sister. You know, when you want to leave something alone, you know, and just focus on this other thing. No, talk about it. My brother and sister. So two other realms that you said represented the kingdom of Media and Persia. The heady male goal is the kingdom of Greece. The large horn between its eyes is the first king. Okay, first king. The horn broke off. Okay, look how you got to pray for wisdom here and understanding. Because remember that the horn broke up on the first king? It's taking you back to the first king. So God is saying, don't ignore the first king. It's important that you remember the first king that I was talking about earlier. Imagine how Daniel wondered, well, if his horn been broken, he's not in power anymore. He's not in office anymore. He's not a commander-in-chief anymore. But is he being mentioned again? My brother and sister. Okay? The horn broke off, and the fourth horn replaced. Now, look at this. Four leader, a four nation specifically that we've been talking about, their leader horn is broken off, taken out. They're going to be taken out. And that's what we, in the days and months to come, that is exactly what is coming, which will have a lot of people question, why is this happening? Why is the leader being replaced? Why is he being removed? You're going to hear a lot of those questions from people. And it's in the Word of God. Before it happens, before it's on CNN and Fox News and any other channel, it's in the Word of God, remember? So the horn will be broke off, four horn replaced, four kingdoms will come out of the nation, but they won't be as strong as the first king was. Hallelujah. They're not going to be as strong, my brother and sister. So whatever king now is leading Russia, China, in Iran, when they are replaced, and in the king in the United States replaced for the one that will follow, are not going to be that strong. I heard that they were doing a history on the president of China, Jinping, and they were saying how from the past he wanted to be a strong president and conquer much and make China very great and powerful. And he had practically accomplished that. But he doesn't know that the word of God said he will be strong. But he doesn't know that the Bible says he's going to be replaced. Same thing with President Putin. My brother and sister, he is strong. He has conquered much. But he doesn't know that he's going to be replaced. Or Biden is going to be replaced. My brother and sister. And the one coming after may not be as strong as they are. But it's how the Antichrist wants them. In order to manipulate and control them, they will be weak to control and manipulate. My brother and sister, right now, they're not doing exactly what they're supposed to do. But once the Antichrist replaces them, God's going to allow this, though. That's why God says it's going to happen. He's going to allow it. Once they are replaced, because you're wondering, God is in control. How is he going to do this if God is in control? See, God is in control of everything, every single thing, every single event. But he's going to allow the Antichrist to do this, the devil, and replace these men and put in office people that will not be so strong, but people he can manipulate as he wants, because he wants to be the head, my brother and sister, not the tail. Okay, the horn was broke off, four horns were replaced, the four kingdoms will come out of the nation, they won't be as strong as the first king was. And in the last days, those kingdoms, when rebellion is finished, okay, a step-looking king who understands mystery things will arise to power. Oh, that is so dangerous now. Because here's the part where a lot of people believe religion, the one world religion. Who's going to bring it? Who's going to bring the one world religion? Who's going to bring all the nations together and say, okay, church is gone. And the lie that the aliens took the church now. We need to establish one religion so there was no confusion. But as the Lord showed me in the Great Tribulation, most of the Christians like me will be wanted kill or alive. I was wanted to kill alive in the Great Tribulation when I came back to help someone. This brother, sister, and brother Elvie, do you know that you are wanted dead or alive by the government? I believe he showed me a piece of paper saying that. Like, wow. Okay? Because he said, what are you doing here? In other words, you're putting your life in danger. But if the Lord is sending me, the Lord is with me, he'll protect me. Nothing's going to happen to me. But I understand his fear. Wanted dead or alive, there will be sniper looking to people for people like me to take them out. So it'll be terrible down here, my brother and sister. And this is what the Lord has shown me. That what is coming, and not me, many other people. Dangerous time, parallel times are coming, like no other time. Because his people will be wanted dead or alive. Because they want to establish the one world religion. And of course the Nephilim, one of them has to rise to power. It has to, this king that rises cannot be earthly. Like the one they had before. Because the one they had before, the Antichrist, look at the Antichrist right now. He's not in total control of everything like he wants to. He's not manipulating things really as he wants to. He's doing it, but mostly from a distance. Okay? Because like the Lord showed me, his order are not really being obeyed completely. Okay? Incredible. So the last day, those kings, when rebellions are finished, a stern-looking king, okay? And maybe if I look this in another Bible translation, I will get a better view of what this stern-looking king is like. My brother and sister. I'm going to place this as Celestial in a few, okay? Because she got her revelation from the Lord recently this week. And you're going to hear what I've been talking about here. She will be confirmed through her. If you listen carefully, everything I'm speaking here will be confirmed. I'm speaking it from the Word. She's going to speak it from the revelation from Jesus himself. And you're going to see how everything began to make so much sense, my brother and sister. Because when they're from God, everything makes sense. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We serve a wonderful God, my brother and sister. We don't need to be afraid at all. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 23 of Daniel 8, and this is the complete Jewish Bible. In the latter day, notice how this Jewish Bible translation points to the latter day. It was not for the time of Daniel, it's for these days. The latter day of their reign, that's the Babylonian system reign, when evildoers have become as evil as possible. Okay, what is it saying there? Right now, without the Nestalians, children, sons and daughters, being released through CERN, they cannot become as evil as possible. They will become as evil as possible when the Nestalians are released. The Lord revealed me a few weeks ago, remember when they were making palaces and castles of gold and diamond for people, where their ability, power, which is fallen power, evil power, limited power, they were able to do that, and people were impressed. And when the person says, so what do you want from me? And he says, and I heard when the Nestalian says, I just want you to worship me and don't believe in the Bible anymore. And the person said, the woman said, oh, you only want me to do that? You don't want me to believe in God? Because she said, don't believe in God. Don't believe in the Bible. Don't read it anymore. And worship me. He says to her, I'm looking at this falling thing, ugly. Well, he was not ugly. But he was very handsome man, very strong and big, something about 8 feet tall and strong, shining thing. An angel of darkness turned into an angel of light, fallen angel. And he says, all I'm asking you is not to believe in the Bible, not to read it, not to believe in God. That's it. And worship me. And the woman said, that's it? That's all you're asking me to do? Oh, of course, I don't have to read the Bible. I don't have to believe in God. Of course I will do it. And then I saw all the multitude and all the people. He was asking them the same. And I heard what he says to her. So how do you want your house to be, your mansion, your castle? And she said, oh, I just want something with a lot of gold, diamond, you know. And he went and standing there, and boom, and he made it happen right away. And she was praising, and he was saying, yeah, just worship me. But what did God say to us in his word? I want to remind you this, my brother and sister, because God says things to us for a very good reason, my brother and sister, okay? First, the believer and the devil and the Antichrist in Revelation 13:4, they it says that they worship the dragon because he has given authority to the beast and worship the beast, saying, who is like a beast? Who can fight against it? Okay? Now, what is the dragon one? Revelation 13:2. So he exercised all authority for the first reason of presence, in his presence, and it makes the earth in the inhabitants to worship the first beast and those fatal wounds that have been healed. Okay? But worshiping the beast is exactly what God says, that those who do that, Revelation 19:20, but the beast was taken captive, and the false prophet, and who is present, who has that miracle which has used to deceive those who have received the mark of the beast and those who have worshipped his image. And the beast and the false prophet both thrown alive into a lake, a fire that burned with sulfur. My brother insisted. But look what he looked for people to do, worship them. That's what the fallen one wants. Because it's a direct sin against God. God abhors those that worship the beast. But worse still, they take the mark on the right hand and forehead. Because that's the mark, my brother and sister, that will get them in and stay in with the Antichrist and the devil. But the worship part is the part that caught my attention that the Lord showed me. Them asking people to worship them, they'll give them whatever they want, and not to believe God and not to read the Bible. But I remember when Father spoke to me at one time, tell them to get a Bible and to read my word daily, Father says to me. Tell them. Tell them to get a Bible, inquire my word, and read it daily, Father says. And pray and call unto me, and I will come and protect them, and I will help them, he says. Father God said this to me, to tell the people. My brother insisted. But the fallen one tell them not to read the word, not to believe in God. Opposite to it. But God says to get a Bible, to read his word, to pray for him and ask him for protection, and he will protect you, he says. My brother insisted. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Here's Sister Celestia, more on Tuesday night.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestia, and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers alike, you are very welcome. This channel has mirror channels on BitChute, Brighteon, and Rumble. There is also a Spanish language channel by the name of La Voz del Señor. And if you only look in the drop-down menu at the bottom, you can see everything to do with the Master's Voice. You can also see where to go to read all these prophecies in print. Every video that you are watching has a printed version as the Master's Voice where you can take your time and go through the prophetic words to see what is the Lord Jesus saying to his church now, today, in this hour. I have two prophecies to bring that have to do with a coming United States economic crash. When this economic crash comes, it's going to affect all the countries of the world. But the Lord has been saying for a long time that some countries are going to fare much better than America will. America is going to be the seat, the heart of the crash. And God says that this economic crash is going to put two of America's past financial crises in the shade. One of those is the 2008 crash, which is not so long ago. But the other one is the Great Depression of the 1930s. And so today's prophecy is called U.S. Economic Crash Worse Than 2008. And I received it about 2 months ago, January the 26th, 2023. At that time, I was on my break and I was not minded to put this message up at the time. But then the Lord began really pressing on my heart and said that this is something that needs to be shared over and over again. And so that is one of the things that I will be bringing out. And so the banner scripture is this. There are two banner scriptures. The first one is this. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:3. The second scripture is this. Riches are worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness brings deliverance from death. And this is Proverbs 11:4. So the first scripture is basically saying that when they're telling you it's a bull market, when they're telling you that the country has never been safer, when they say it's a bull market, that's when the bear lifestyle is going to show up. That's when everything is going to implode and plunge people's financial livelihood, their savings, and everything that they thought they had into total chaos. That's when sudden destruction will come. When they're saying America's never been stronger, that's when we wake up one day and see Russia and China at the front, back, and side doors. And the scripture says that this brings upon a person labor pains suddenly, devastatingly, the same way that pregnant women begin to have those piercing pains that let them know the time for the baby is here. And 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, and they shall not escape. The core of this prophecy is to let America know that God says there will be no rescue from this financial crash that is coming. Last year, I received a prophecy that was as clear as day. It is called Nothing But Scattering. And the entire 15 minutes or so of that live prophecy that was just coming out of me when I was on a daily prayer call is that America is going to bottom out. God says that Uncle Sam has been playing fast and loose with the books, and now it's time to pay the piper. And he said that no economic policies, no pumping of the brakes, no propaganda that can come out of the mouth of whoever is in power is going to fix this. There will be no bailouts. There will be no side doors. There will be no escapes. He says that the times ahead for America are going to confound even the very wealthy. Proverbs 11:4 says that riches don't help in the day of wrath. What is the day of wrath? The day that God decides that he's going to pick up this country and shake it the way small children shake their rattle. But he does say this: righteousness brings deliverance from death. So the people who are righteous, God's people, he is saying that he will surely remember us. And this is something that God has been saying. Many people try to make it seem as if when prophecy is coming forth, it has to be one or the other. Well, Celestial, which is it? Is it Russia or China? It's both. Which is it? Is it economic decline, or is it going to be that the country is going to be plunged into civil war? It's both. It's everything, everywhere, all at once. At the same time, on one country that God has said he will surely judge to the exact measure of the wickedness that she has performed. And so God is saying here that economic straits are coming such as we cannot understand. But at the same time, God has Noah plans in mind for the Noahs. The thing with Noah is that Noah believed God. So if you're one of those people who you're relying on your Harvard degree, MIT degree, your stock market trading things, I'm not even going to argue with you because I don't have any of those things. What I have is the absolute certainty of who is speaking to me, the Holy Spirit of God, of what he says is coming. And therefore, righteousness, which is believing what God said, like Abraham believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. I believe what the Lord is saying, and therein I put my trust in him so that he can deliver me from all forms of death and all who are like-mannered and like-minded can expect the same. So on January 26, 23, I had such a clear and sobering dream that dream basically had my mouth full for the entire day. I didn't say much, and it was on my mind throughout all my household tasks, throughout all the work that I was doing. This dream was just boiling through my mind, and I was marveling at what I had seen. I dreamt of this massive company in the city. The city, it looked like Manhattan. It looked just like Manhattan, or it could have been. It looked exactly like those business districts that you see all over the world where the tall, 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 fancy black glass or emerald green glass buildings are all clustered together in their little exclusive club of money. So there was this massive company in the city, thousands of employees, so much money to burn, and this company had so many perks that I was confused in the dream. I was in the dream, so I was seeing the perks and experiencing them, but at the same time, my mind was struggling to come to terms with how can a company have this much capital outlay? I mean, money from the CEOs to the middle EOs all the way down to the mailroom staff. Everyone is doing well in this company. You're enjoying the perks, but at the same time, if you're a thinking person, you're like, how does this company have this much money to burn? Company was so big that it took up several city blocks in terms of its office space, and it stood multiple stories high, right in the middle of a city that looked like Midtown Manhattan. And this company, like I said, was not shy about spending money. There's a lot of large institutions, corporations, and organizations. They don't really want it known how much money they have. They don't want it known what the net worth of the entity itself is, and then what the net worth of individual shareholders is. And so they will hedge that information. The only person whose business is going to be out on Front Street is probably the CEO, because he's considered, you know, a public figure. And so people are going to dig into him, or at least he has to declare his earnings like they do with Apple and stuff like that. But most super rich institutions, they strive for privacy. They don't want people to focus the lens on them too much, and they will have these social programs and orphan programs and lots of, I just call it outside smoke. smokescreen cover to make it look like, oh, we're so into sustainable development and look how green we are, simply because they don't want people asking hard questions about how much cash they have. But this company was not like that. It was loud and proud, and it was well known how much money they spent. And so I saw such expensive perks for the executives, and that mentality filtered all the way down to the lowest paid staff. There was so much excess in this company, so much extravagance that, like I said, even though I was hired into this company, which has never happened, I was enjoying the perks, but a part of me was thinking, how are they paying for all this? How do these people stay liquid? And how on earth can this much money and splurging be made available to all of us? I'm talking canapes in the office where they wheel in these little trays, and then we all flock around them like hungry baby birds to pick up things like truffles and things like that. Mandatory breaks, so much ergonomic space, the best kind of chairs, the best kind of coffee from far off destinations and things like that. Food that you cannot believe in the company canteen and things like that. They had all this, and yet the workforce was extremely gross. When I say gross, I don't mean disgusting. I just mean very, very large. And how I got into this company is I have a friend who doesn't actually live in America. This is not a person who's ever been here, and he doesn't see this as a place that he would ever come and live or raise his family. But in this dream, he was neck deep into this company. He was one of senior management. He had the power to affect hiring, firing, and he was part of the big decisions. And he called me up and he said, you know, Celestial, we're in a hiring season, and I think that you could greatly benefit. We are hiring consultants, so nobody's offering you a long-term position, but I promise you, he said to me, even if you get hired short-term, the money that you can make will make it totally worth your while. So call up HR, get yourself an appointment. Don't stress too much that we are friends. Let HR make their own decision about you, and if you get in, well, then the best of luck to you. So I did call. I got called for the interview, and I got the job. Yet on my first day at work, I'm heading into the building. We've all seen these movies where the new person has their little attaché case, and they're coming up to this tall building, and they pause, and they look up like, wow, I finally made it. Well, I pause not because I'm thinking this, but because I can hear screams like, woo, woohoo! And I look up, and I see senior executives in suits skydiving off the roof of this multi-story skyscraper. I kid you not. They're wearing that thing where you pull it, you know, you pull it like this, and then you guide yourself. Paragliders, they're wearing it in the middle of the city, base jumping off the top of the building, and then guiding themselves to like a cordoned off area where they have, you know, lifestyle extreme sports experts there to tell them, good job, Rodney. And I'm standing and I'm looking up at this and I'm thinking, is this a business? Is this a normal company? What exactly is going on here? But as I was getting used to my new job, here's some of the things that I saw. I saw people wearing jewelry. I'm talking about pearls in the office. Women with their hair up in chignons, and they're wearing pearls on the neck, pearls in the ear, silk blouses. Everybody turned out so well. There's so much pressure to fit in. But I'm just there in the midst of all this well-dressed designer culture, like upmarket meals, and I'm trying to figure out, how did I end up in the Wolf of Wall Street? And then one day, all of a sudden, this dream goes from all this success to darkness. I mean, the tone of the dream turned dark, and I suddenly see this guy who got me hired come to my cubicle with a look of absolute terror on his face, and he's motioning to me frantically, come out of that cubicle and follow me. And so I'm following him, and as we feed into the main hallway outside where I worked, I see a ton of people, like panicked, herded animals. This look of fear on my friend's face is on nearly every face that is in this hallway, and pretty soon we're tightly packed, and we're moving towards, if I ever see this building, if this building is a real building, I will recognize it. We're moving out towards a particular staircase that is up against a marble wall. Normally, stairwells are at the side of the buildings, and they just go like this, zigzag, zigzag, and there's always a door at every floor. This building, when you walk into this building, it has this grand entry hall, very grand, and at the far end, there is a marble wall. I don't know if it's emerald green kind of marble or black and white marble, but there was a marbled wall right back at the back of when you walk into the entry hall, with a huge vaulted ceiling that have all the little gold overlay and everything. And right up against that wall, there were stairs going to every floor like this and like that. And so we went to those stairs. I don't know if people were being directed there, heard it there. We went to those stairs and we started to go up. And for us, it was not a very long schlep because we were already on the 14th floor. So everyone is headed up to the roof, and there's this nervous whisper moving among people as we're pressing. And these are the words my friend said. The economy's crashed. Gone. Poof. The whole thing. We're sunk. We are finished. Everything is imploding. The stock market, the money, the assets, everything we thought we have, we don't have it anymore. It's all gone. And so I'm there, and I'm listening intently, and I'm nodding, and I'm trying to follow along, and people are trying to push their way past, and I'm holding on to the railing to make sure that nobody pushes me or starts a stampede or anything like that. And this guy, somebody who in real life has dealt with big money all their life, the whole time that I've known them, I saw terror on this person's face, absolute panic. And I knew, looking at that face, this person is more deeply vested in this company than I understood. For me, I was just a consultant. I'd only been in the company 3 months when this happened, but I saw someone who had sunk their life into a corporation, and now that corporation had just disappeared to the bottom of the deep blue sea. And so when we got to the top floor, they had set out so many chairs. This is such a massive conference room at the top, and they had set out chairs, and all the usual fancy nibbles were there, and the sparkling water and everything, and so few people could even peck on that food. People were just electrified with this nervous, tense, afraid vibe. People could hardly sit. Almost every single person opted to stand. And a meeting was going on in the main conference room that was supposed to be cordoned off. But I went to the ladies, and when I was coming back, someone had stepped out of this conference room and left the door open. And this is what I saw in there in my dream. I saw that the room was full of men in black, gray, and navy blue suits, very stern-faced men who were barking orders and barking instructions. And there were also Hasidic Jews there with a yarmulke and a standard black and white outfit that they usually wear, which is usually a black suit with a white shirt and no tie. That is what I saw, Hasidic Jews in there and other men formally dressed in black, gray, and navy. Such a tense meeting. And I saw all our usually confident bosses who were always like, hey, how's it going? They were sitting in their chairs like little school children, and they were being given sharp instructions from these two sets of visitors and being told, this is how it's going to be from now on, and this is what's going to happen next. But even though I pressed my face up against that little crack and I was watching and listening, I didn't really understand what they were saying and what was going on, and I also don't remember it when I woke up, and so I crept away from the door. The dream changed, and the next scene was just devastating. We were being driven out of that building like cattle are driven from one place to another. We were being driven out of the building without fanfare, without notice letters, without any form of warning. We were all fired, and we were told to leave the building with immediate effect. No one was allowed to go back to their floor. No one was allowed to go back to our desk. What we did not know is that while we were herded up there, all the side exits of the building were locked. Passwords were being changed on all the computers and all our stuff. I've spoken before that when they fire you, you have your little box and you have your cactus and your little, you know, your picture of your family and everything there. They went desk by desk. They took personal records, medical records, anything that you might keep at work in case HR might need it, personal effects, your car keys, purses, handbags, whatever we had to make our space, they just dragged it into these large cartons. This is celestial stuff mixed with whoever stuff, just as many as a box would hold. And then they would cart it down to the lobby and ditch that box. So a whole team of security had been watching, working and doing these things for the hours that we were upstairs waiting for them to talk to us. They had been clearing out the building, and then they just tossed our personal property, which was mixed up in boxes in the lobby, and passwords were changed, desks were cleared, filing cabinets locked, and everyone was tossed out of their office and their workspace without notice. And I was very angry because all my personal effects was mixed up with other people's stuff. And you can imagine the panic, the anger, the cursing, and what a nightmare it was going through boxes to see, is it your stuff? So you have to go through tons of boxes because nothing is labeled. Basically, no care was taken. I'm trying to show you here that in the dream, people were summarily fired. To be summarily fired literally means to wake up one day and find that you have gone from employed to unemployed without so much as an email to let you know what is going on. And we were not allowed to go back upstairs. People were so angry. People were crying. We were not allowed to go back up for any reason. And to make it worse, to add pressure to the whole situation, we were told that we had a limited time to find our stuff and get out of that building. Anything that was left behind would be destroyed. So you can imagine how the panic rose once that extra instruction was added. Now, in another part of the building, the Lord opened my eyes in this dream, and I just saw basically through the walls, and I saw to another part of the building where there were so many boxes of hard drives, and I saw three types of hard drives, but there's one that I do not know what that is. First was the normal type we have now, so the modern external hard HD drives, high-definition drives, and SSD drives, that is a solid-state drive, which is the newer technology, and then I saw old-style floppy disks. Quite a few boxes of these old-style floppy disks from the, I think it was the 80s and the 90s. So there was information going that far back that was stored on that type of drive, and then there was information that was on the very modern drive. And then there was a very small drive that was only about the width of a fingernail, four fingernail widths joined together. It wasn't a thumb drive. I can't describe it well. But I've never seen that type of drive before. And there were also boxes of this new type of drive. And they came in the color black, gray, maroon, and blue. And all this stuff had been put into that hidden part of the building for quick destruction. I also saw paper files. I saw records. I saw bank information. And I saw a lot of company paperwork that was waiting to be destroyed. And I thought, Lord, what are these people doing? If they destroy this stuff, then where is the proof of how they've been operating for the past who knows how long? And so that first dream ended on a very high note of panic and despair, people losing their jobs suddenly, things going on at the very top in the halls of power that even the executives of this company did not have control over. They were being told what to do and how to do it by external people who came out, which included the Jewish community here in the United States. And when we came out, you know, if you'd managed to find your stuff and you came out, I saw that companies to the right and the left of us were streaming out in the same state of distress, the same state of panic. In the rich company zone, it did not look like any of the businesses had escaped this sudden recession. And I had another dream immediately after this. I saw a mine. So there was a mine, a place where they mine, you know, resources. I saw this deep hole in the ground with just a ladder going into it. And I saw 10 or 12 workers standing around that place. It was not here in America. It looked like maybe Paraguay or one of those places in South America. They were standing around looking very sad and upset. And they were just wearing, you know, normal miner's clothes. Some of them had the cap on their head, not the hard hats. They had their own cap on their head. And some people had their caps, and they were twisting their caps in distress because the foreman, who was dressed formally was talking to them, and he was telling them that the mine was no longer operational and that these 10 or 12 men did not have jobs anymore, and these people had immediately, with immediate effect, had lost their jobs. They were being told that the mine had gone bankrupt, that the mine, but the company, the foreign company that owned the mine, had pulled out summarily with no warning. The rich investors just pulled out of the mine, took maybe the valuable equipment, and just basically left a hole in the ground, left the workers, left everybody, and left it to the foremen to tell them that the mine is closed and there's no more job. So these men were crying. Some of these men were so upset and devastated by this news that they were crying, and they were pleading with the foreman, and they were telling him this. I could not understand their language, but I was hearing the interpretation in English. They were telling him that if the mine is having financial problems, they understand. They were telling him they still wanted to go down into the hole and work. They said, we will work, and then you can give us that work time as a credit. Give it to us as a credit. And then when the company has money, when the company is doing better, then let the company pay us then. But this foreman was struggling to tell them what closed and bankrupt means, what it means when foreign investors pull out. He kept saying, no, the mine will not be able to reopen. The company has no money to pay you, so you do not need to work. But they did not understand. And this man was the same nationality as these people, so it was not language barrier. They were failing to process what it means when the bottom falls out of the market suddenly and without warning, exactly as happened in the rich sector of the first stream. He said, it's the recession, trying to speak slowly so that they could understand that this thing was something that was so big that it was not just their mine. He told them that the foreign mining company had pulled out without warning, abandoning everything, including the workers. It was impossible for these men to accept it. They just could not process the idea, the mine is gone forever, your work is gone forever. And because they were crying so much, the foreman told them, okay, men, let's open up so you can go down and work. And when he said that, all of them became calm and they wiped their tears and they went down the ladder into a mine that was not going to be giving them any salary anymore. And I felt very bad when I saw this. When I woke up, the Lord explained clearly to me, and I've written it down, so please listen. A worldwide recession is coming, a crash that will be felt around the world, greater than the financial collapse of 2008, and with even more far-reaching implications and repercussions that cannot be stopped or fixed by anyone. I repeat, this next crash cannot be stopped, fixed, mitigated, or lessened by anything. It is going to happen, and in the days, weeks, and months following, it is going to roll its way around the world until there is no one and nothing that is not impacted by it in some way. The Lord was telling me that even the measures of 2008, which were very actually wicked measures, they were short-sighted and extremely selfish, and they sought only to protect the wealthy. They only sought to cushion a certain class from financial destruction while letting everyone else fail and creating a special class called too big to fail. God said that even trying that is not going to work this time. Every business and home, he said, around the world will be touched. Now, as he was speaking, I began to have impressions of the Lord upon my heart. And what was laid upon my heart, that places that will not be impacted unto destruction, impacted unto destruction meaning having the workforce just collapse, the financial situation collapse, the banks collapse, the economy collapse, industries collapse, that's to the point of destruction. Places that are not going to have total collapse are places that have what is called a small debt sheet. I am not too conversant in these things. It means a low and a moderate-sized government debt. It definitely does not mean the huge sky-sized debt of trillions upon trillions, with trillions more on the way that we have here in the United States. And even then, being able to survive this destruction will vary on the type of debt the government has. I'm not conversant on the different types of debts the governments have. Two countries that were put on my heart are Japan and the little island of Tonga. Japan and Tonga, which is representative of these very small economies that 80% of what they use is their own products. They are growing their own things, eating their own things, and relying on their own things. And they are not relying on, for instance, iPad export money to survive. So I have seen on at least two occasions that though this crash will be especially devastating for European and Western nations, anyone who is strongly connected to the U.S. dollar economy, I have seen that even though the Japanese yen will go through shaking and shuddering, their money will not totally fail. And so when these countries came to mind, it led me to understand that it's not just them, but all countries that are like them in how they operate, being cautious and self-restrained like Japanese economy, and also being largely circular. In the modern world, when it comes to trade, usually people look down on these closed economies that are just recycling their own things. But then when the world economy crashes, it turns out to be really good that you like to grow and eat your coconuts, like to grow and eat your own native foods. And so when everyone else is now not able to get things imported because the import-export market has been smashed by the U.S. dollar becoming paper, no pun intended, then countries like that will not be suffering. So if the government balance sheet is sensible enough before a recession, then it will survive better than one that has an insane balance sheet like we have here in the United States. So here are several things that these dreams, the two dreams, were showing. One, when these big companies become aware that they're going to fail, they're not going to be open and speak about this in the public space. The only way we're going to know about it is literally when we see their business being splashed on Front Street when they crash, not before they crash. They are not going to be upfront about it. They're not going to give any national updates. They're not going to come clean about their situations to their bankers, and they're just going to plunge into the deep, dark hole of doesn't exist anymore. Big business are going to be the first people who know that the economy is about to implode. But all they will do, God was showing me, is try to minimize their own risk. They're going to try to lighten the balance sheet by making huge cuts in staff and expenses. They will even go to the extent of destroying their own records to erase the paper trail of how they ended up in such gross financial distress. So later, when there isn't a paper trail, even when auditors are brought in after the fact, they will just claim that it was faceless factors, the market not favoring them, that caused them to crash, and they will not have to shoulder any responsibility for things like reckless spending, reckless borrowing, and how those actions have affected, negatively affected, the national bottom line. I also saw in this dream that there are much higher hands and heads at work than even the CEOs and corporate boards of companies. God was showing that this economy in America has puppet masters who come in right at the knife edge of crisis. What is the knife edge of crisis? Just before it gets bad and we start to see people sweating on the news broadcasts and saying, we don't know what this is, America. Just before that point, private meetings are going on to hedge and protect corporate executives themselves, perhaps the larger entities, but not everyone, and definitely not the ordinary people. So I saw that these people, the puppet masters, come in at the edge of crisis to dictate what is going to happen next. They do not advise. They tell these companies what's going to be done. And therefore, God was showing me that when we see this economic failure, we should know that it did not happen naturally. So whichever way the tree will fall, who it falls on, God says we should know that this was not a natural fall. The tree was chopped in a certain way so that the greatest impact could fall on who it usually falls on, which is normal people. He says that the economy does not fail naturally. It fails with a ton of help. It fails with a ton of insider information, insider orchestration, rules from control, and specific choices about which trees should be saved and which trees should be allowed to burn in an economic recession. These two dreams also show that the crash in Western markets will devastate other nations, especially those that are tied to or dependent upon the U.S. dollar. I have spoken of this many times, and one such message that I have always covered is this message that the Lord gave me in 2018. The prophecy is called Money Down the Drain, and that was two dreams. I saw that the U.S. dollar went through a horrible loss. It devalued up to 60% of its value, and when that happened, inflation was slapping us all over the place, and we could barely afford basic goods. I saw that there came huge schisms in the minds of people in America for this reason. When this happened, the government began to say, we knew this was going to happen. We planned about this, America. Don't you worry. All of this has been factored into our two-year, five-year, and 93-year business plan. We can handle this. The propaganda machine swung into motion like you wouldn't believe. TV, radio, YouTube, other tube, it was pumping that America was okay. They did not want to confess or admit that a crisis had happened, that the crisis was going to deepen, as we can understand, if our money loses 60% of the value. They would not admit this, and they began to demonize anyone who was saying the opposite. That person almost became like an enemy of the state. That person was called names like conspiracy theorist, enemy of the state, treasonous, that kind of thing. There was a lot of mockery happening in America if you were someone who was speaking the truth about what had happened to America. In that same dream, I saw that America's carelessness with money and the financial crisis that she had caused affected other nations, especially other nations in the so-called developing or third world. People had their savings wiped out overnight, just like this dream that God has given me. On January 26, 2023, I saw grown men crying. I saw people in distress. Everything that they had saved became worthless overnight. I saw that there was a lot of economic distress around the world, and people hated America because of it. I saw them burning flags in other countries. I saw that American embassies were no longer safe. I saw that people began to attack U.S. businesses overseas. Such was the rage against this country because of her financial shenanigans that had finally reached breaking point and ricocheted and caused a terrible life for others outside. In the same dream, I saw myself speaking to relatives, speaking to people close to me, instructing them and telling them what God had said about this time period, and people were still telling me they didn't believe it. Such is the cognitive dissonance in humanity. We were in the crisis. The crisis was no longer coming. We were in the crisis, and people were still trying to paint me a liar and say, no, it's not true, because the TV Kool-Aid was so deep in their veins that they could not simply settle into the acceptance that they had been lied to. And now we had to pay the piper, and things were happening. I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 20. It is called The Burden Against Egypt. And I've read from this chapter before in the prophecy that is called Unemployment and a Wage Crisis for America. I made that prophecy, I think, in April of 2022. And what God was saying is that America is going to go into a devastating wage crisis. And the wage crisis is going to be that there will be extremely low wages. Even if you are highly skilled, you will find that the salaries they're offering for high skills is going to be so low. They're going to start cutting the benefits. They're going to start being stingy with benefits unless you're really, really, really up there. and things like that. And also, there are going to be no wages, meaning that the unemployment sector is going to swell. And one of the things that God has said for years, there's a prophecy called Signs of Decline in America. He has said that due to all the economic shakings that will happen in America, a lot of people who are barely holding on are going to fall right off the bottom. He spoke of young people who are trying to make it in life. This is your first time having an apartment. This is your first time living away from home. This is your first job. You might find that if you're older and you're doing work part-time, if you are young and it's your first job, or if you don't have extremely necessary skills, you're not even mid-level yet, you might be that part of the economy that will be easily cut. And what that will bring, obviously, when you're not getting a job, is economic distress. God showed me that a lot of people are moving back home. Even divorced people are going to start to agree to share accommodation while they're going through their divorce, or even after their divorce, if they have a decent relationship. God showed me that divorced people were still sharing one place because it was cheaper than maintaining two homes, and they were like, you know what, hey, why not? I don't hate you that much, and at least we can keep the appearance of a family and the kids can be together, but really they were doing it because it was cheaper. I saw that people who lost their jobs moved homes. They moved back home to their parents because their parents more often than not had fully paid mortgages, or at least their parents had homes that were 99% paid off and they were safe and the bank wasn't taking those houses. I saw that homelessness rose, that a lot of people for the first time in the United States were driven not even into family members' homes. There was simply nowhere for them to go. And this country began to experience a homelessness crisis of all levels of society. The Lord said to me, Celestial, tell them that people who have never even thought of being homeless are going to be homeless. I saw that it was very hard times in America. And I saw in that dream that when I was trying to share the word of the Lord, people hated to hear my voice. They hated to hear anything to do with God. They were so depressed, so angry at having nothing, and they did not understand that it was part of the judgment that God said will come here, because this country of so many gods, he is going to judge the god of money. He is going to judge the god of the U.S. dollar. And so that is the dream from 2018, money down the drain. But since years before that, when I was just writing these things down for myself, I said that I saw several dreams in which myself and family members, when America had been completely ruined and it was just hard, hard times, we were walking on money. We were walking on paper money. We were walking on all the currencies of the world, not just the U.S. dollar. We were walking on all types of foreign currency, and nobody had interest in that thing. Money had passed its useful time. And if you want to know, for those who are always like, well, where is this in the Bible? Not only does it talk of the black horse, which means in the end times, economic straits of unheard, unseen proportions will come. But the Bible talks of a time that the man Joseph was the only way that God was able to save not only Egypt, but an entire region of the known world at that time from one of the most devastating famines in the world. And if you closely read that story of how Joseph rose to prominence in Egypt and he prepared the grain and everything, you will come to the verse where it says the people came to Joseph and told him, give us bread and we'll just work, and we and our families will work for you because the money has failed. God showed me that years and years ago, and I thought, wow, Lord, you are so consistent. There is nothing new under the sun, so the book of Ecclesiastes says. The Bible has it clearly, long before Bloomberg was a word on everybody's lips, and we needed to tune into experts to tell us what was going on. Joseph, feed us, for the money faileth. And that is how it's going to be. And that is also because the Lord says that something called coin is coming into play. And I'm not talking about the gold and silver that people are using now. That is a separate prophecy, and I will make it after this one if there is room and strength. But for now, we are looking at Isaiah 19. And this prophecy In the Bible, it is literally titled The Burden Against Egypt. And look at this. I always write in my Bible, and I received this prophecy twice, once on December 27th, 2018, again on April 3rd, 2019, before I received it again in 2022. And this time I made the video. So I'll read from verse 5. And I'm paraphrasing, and then I'm going to explain. It says, the waters will fail from the sea, and the river will become wasted and dried up. Indeed, the rivers will turn foul, the brooks of defense empty, dried up, the reeds and the rushes withering. Papyrus reeds by the river, by the mouth of the great river. Everything sown by the river will be withered and driven away and be no more. And then the fishermen will mourn, and everybody who casts hooks into the river will lament. They will languish, those who spread their nets on the waters. Even those who work in fine flax, who weave fine fabric, will be ashamed. Those and the foundations of it will be broken, and all who make wages will be troubled of soul. Here is the third date that I received the prophecy. It was the 16th of March 2022. And then when I had time, I made the video in April. It says, surely the princes of Zoan are fools. Pharaoh's wise counselors give foolish advice. How can you say to Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings? Where are they? Where are your wise men? Let them tell you now. Let them tell you if they know what the Lord of hosts has purposed to do against Egypt. The princes of Zoan have become fools. The princes of Nuf are deceived. They have also deluded Egypt, those who are the mainstay of its tribes. For God has mingled a perverse spirit in her midst, and they have caused Egypt to err in all her work. As a drunken man staggers in his vomit, neither will there be any work for Egypt which the head or the tail, the palm branch or the bulrush may do. And God, being the excellent teacher that he is, opened this scripture up to me. Waters failing from the sea, the river wasting, drying up, the waters turning foul. God is saying stagnancy will enter America's economy. Stagnancy. When the waters are failing, we are talking about the sea drying up because it's no longer getting fed by the inlets, the little rivers that bring all their carriage of resources. The rivers carry water and they run into the sea. But God says that America is going to become stagnant, wasted, and dried up because all the little rivers of trade and industry that run into her from the foreign nations are going to dry up and stop. And since we've always been talking about the supply chain, just remember that God spoke about these things years before, and I published them on the blog long before 2020, before we had any supply chain issues. And then it says here, so first, stagnancy and a problem with getting trade and industry flowing in a healthy manner. The nation will no longer be able to get what she wants. The next thing is, it says, papyrus reeds that grow next to the river will wither and be no more. Papyrus is how Egypt used to make paper. This is basically speaking of a big portion of ancient Egypt's industry. They used to take those reeds and crush them up and mash them and soak them in water and then blend them together and make this really awesome early form of paper. Now, there were so many centers of learning in those days, and all the learned people and all the people who wanted to study would obviously send to Egypt for this paper. Now they could write down important things. Now the words of the king could be recorded. If the papyrus, which is the resource to make the paper, dries up, then God is saying that big business is going to be struck a hard blow. This is how you read the Bible. The Holy Spirit will open it up to you, will help you to look deeper into what is written there, and then you gain the understanding. If this is a big business for an ancient country making paper, and then God says, you know that paper, the little stalks that you depend on to crush and make the paper? I, God, the owner of the stalks, am going to kill those stalks. They will no longer grow next to the Nile River, and you will no longer be able to produce all this paper that has made you so great. Big industry, big business is going to fail in America because God says he's going to cause it to dry up from the roots. Then it says the fishermen will be mourning, and everybody who makes their living by casting hooks and nets into the great river will begin to languish. This is speaking of fisheries. This is speaking of every form of American business that relies on the sea. It's going to now start faltering and staggering, and God says that everybody who depends on it, everybody in the fishing industry, is going to start to sorrow. And then it says, those who are working with fine flax and weaving the fine fabric will be ashamed. We're speaking now of the things that make America beautiful, the fashion industry, and those who are making clothing and Macy's and Nordstrom. Watch them. Those in the business of aesthetics, the fine fabric and the beautifying things that they weave, everything is now going to start shuddering. When God says they will be ashamed, he basically means that they're going to have absolutely nothing to be proud of, that all those industries are going to start shutting their doors. And you can already see that I think it's Macy's is constantly in the process of closing stores and things like that. He says the foundation of the nation will be broken, and everyone who makes wages will be troubled of soul. Right there in the Bible, it is speaking of the wage crisis. If you are anyone who is working, God is saying that this financial crisis is coming to trouble your soul. And this is why it is necessary for people to trust in God, to start acting like it. Spending all your time on Facebook talking about, oh no, it's the tribulation and things like that. Well, it's time to wake up, because you are going to be living through your own personal tribulation if you do not get that house in order like Noah did. May the name of Noah continue always in the mouth of true Christians, a man who lacked nothing before the eyes of God, perfect in his generations, obedient, righteous, with a hearing ear, that when God says trouble is coming, did not say, well, you know, we're going to get caught up in the clouds. Listened to God, prepared his household, saved eight alive. How I love that verse. Saved eight alive. If you can only save you and your cats, God bless you. If you have a wife and two children to add to that cat, and you hear the words of the Lord and go into the secret place to begin to receive strategy. People always want to talk and tune into all the networks. Are they going to give you the strategy that Joseph had to save your household? What did the Egyptians say of Joseph? Who is better for this job than you? A man in whom the spirits of the gods reside. And why wouldn't they say that? They thought that there's 105 gods. They were basically giving him the highest compliment possible. You are a man who is able to pull out of the spirit realm answers to save us. The job is yours. May God bless those who are able to seek him for strategy. In quietness and confidence will be your strength. Isaiah 30 and 18. God bless you, true Christians. God bless you, people who listen. God bless you, people who believe. God bless you, people who do not send me email and tell me, you're an interesting young lady, but I don't agree with this and that. God bless you, you whose hearts do not have the fungus of unbelief. May the Lord protect your homes and bless you. May he make you like Elijah and that lady who trusted him and gave him her last. And the Bible says that he lived with her, and the jar of oil didn't run out, and the meal was always there. And Elijah, the prophet, and that woman and her son ate for many days in the midst of a three-year famine that surely took away many animals, many people, and the entire economy. May God keep you in your houses when the sandstorms of America's decline are blowing outside. May you be inside safe and warm with his presence, his spirit singing songs of everlasting glory. to your shelter and your protector, and fearing nothing because you went on your knees to find divine strategy. And let's continue. It says, surely the princes are fools, and Pharaoh's wise counselors give foolish counsel. This is God basically saying, keep watching CNN and Fox to keep you updated. Keep on watching the sons of the princes who are giving, who call themselves wise counselor, but they give foolish counsel. He says, how can you say that I'm the son of the wise? Where are the wise men? And he answered right here in verse 14. Please listen. He says that they become fools and they become deceived, and they will in turn deceive Egypt. A lot of Americans are going to be right out there in the Bitcoin frenzy until the day they wake up and see those numbers, $0.00. When the Bitcoin crashes and the Smithcoin and the Shiba coin all take the nosedive of the ages, all who tied their hearts to the princes of Nof, the princes of CNNBC, NBC, CBC, DBC, Double D, when you tie your hearts to people that God says, I will put a perverse spirit in their mouth to lie to you. When their words crash and burn and fail, your heart tied to them will crash and burn and fail. And I will end it in this way. God has always told me that the prophecies of this channel will confound the wise. He says that people will listen and constantly, but you said this in the other prophecy, and how does it work with this? He said that you will knock yourselves against the bricks trying to figure it out. But to the humble heart that just sits and says, God, I don't understand, he will begin to feed you the same thing that he fed me. Imagine the Holy Spirit trying to put things in my mouth. And then I'm like, well, Lord, that one tasted good, but this one, I don't agree. How would God ever tell me, for instance, a veteran of church, 10 years in the church, rooted in the church with all my heart and soul, and then my father, owner, and maker comes and tells me, hey, down there, did you know the Nephilim are coming back? And I'm like, who's that? What? What? I'm sorry? What if I told him I don't agree? How would I know that the kingdom of iron and clay that will mingle themselves with the sons of men are the rise of these rejected unclean beings coming back to sleep with the hedonistic women and men of today and give rise to a brand new class of X-Men? What if God had not taught me the X-Men are not a comic? They are a preview to the people with special powers that will be bred in human wombs carrying unclean DNA. People of powers that God says are going to be super mega stars in the end times, because he says, Celestial, there's one thing that people love. It's a curiosity. Famous they will be, bedding men and women and bringing unclean, strange seed. What would be the end of this channel if I had said, but I don't agree? May God receive the glory for his word. Verse 14, the Lord has mingled a perverse spirit. This means a spirit that twists everything, a lying spirit, a spirit that is a corrupter, into the midst of Egypt. And they have made Egypt to have error in all she does, and she will stagger like a drunken man falling down in his own vomit, and there will be no more work for Egypt, work that either the head or the tail can do. This is the prophecy. U.S. economic crash worse than 2008. A dream in one night of a mega company that went down hard trying to erase its steps and having secret machinations at the top. And the effects of that in a neighboring poor country, foreign investors pulling out without warning from a mine, devastating a local economy and leaving the people without any jobs, any covering, any nest egg. Poor men who depended on a weekly or a daily wage coming to work and having to be told there's no more work for you anymore. The mine has closed. God's wisdom upon those who listen. God bless you. I am not a financial advisor, but I know if God had strategy for Joseph, and Joseph using that strategy not only protected Pharaoh's palace, but protected even people out in neighboring countries. Even Joseph's own brothers were protected. Why? Because God downloaded what to do in Joseph's head. Then the same God, he is the same God. He has not changed. He has only changed in the minds of people because pastors are liars nowadays. Very, very negligent. They use magic markers to edit God into something that they think that people can chew. God was never intended to be chewed by you like a macaroon. He is God. He has not changed. As he preserved in the ancient world, he will do the same if you have that faith. Because faith is the only righteousness, the only currency that God accepts. God bless you, and until I see you again, goodbye.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers alike, you are very welcome. There are alternate channels for this platform. You can find them on Rumble, BitChute, and Brighteon, also under the Master's Voice blog or the Master's Voice Prophecy blog. All links for the Master's Voice can be found directly below every video. The website, themastersvoice.com, you can also find it below the video. Today, the prophecy is called The Meltdown of the Banking System, and I received this message from the Lord on March the 7th. Just a few days ago. But before I go into the prophecy, the question that has been on my heart simply is this. Have you ever thought about how integrated the presence of God and the Spirit of God and God himself, the knowledge of God, that the Bible says the knowledge of God will cover the entire earth as the waters cover the sea? But that is one day. That is not now. Right now, the knowledge of God does not cover the whole earth. There are places where the one true God has never been preached. There are places that do not accept that Jesus Christ is God, such as in the Islamic communities. But speaking to Christian communities or those who self-identify as Christians, even though they are not actively living Christian lives or honoring God the way they should, including those who live good, strong, well-planted Christian lives. Have you ever stopped to consider how integrated God is into your life? What do I mean by this? Do you carry the consideration of God with you everywhere? As we go through these financial prophecies, whereby I just realized today that there is yet another one that the Lord gave me, yet another dream. Today I'm going to be simply speaking of a revelation and an instruction that the Lord gave me in this prophecy that is called The Meltdown of the Banking System. But as I am going through these financial prophecies that the Lord has been basically speaking to me about ever since we entered into 2023, have you ever asked yourself or taken a focused look at your life to ask yourself, how integrated is God into my life? Do you take the things that you have for granted? Do you assume that having the card to swipe is just a normal thing and you swipe the card, or being able to open your wallet and pull out cash according to what you owe? Is it just another passing thing for you? Do you live with an appreciation in your heart that what you have, God has given you? And as the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, time and circumstance comes to all men. Is it in your consciousness? And do you train up your children in the understanding that in this house we have, not because daddy is such a financial wizard and not because mommy has invested her 401k here and there? Do you train your children to rise up in the understanding that all that you have under your roof is by the grace of God, and right next door in the same apartment, or right next door in the same subdivision, or right next door in another state, are families who are facing hardships simply because it's not because of bad planning, it's not even because of bad luck, it is because time and circumstances come to all men. Simply because of changes in the economic landscape, simply because of changes that are coming down suddenly in the various business sectors, whole families, single individuals, elderly people who already went into retirement and thought that their time of working was done, are being impacted by very hard body blows that are being landed left and right without warning. On citizens here in the United States, on families, on small businesses, even upon big businesses all around the world, as we see that businesses have been shuttering since 2020. I spoke of this in one of my very old videos and said that even when lockdown ended, I noted that in my neighborhood in Brooklyn at that time, many small businesses did not come back. For sale signs went up outside those businesses. For rent signs went up outside those businesses. And I knew that the livelihoods that had once been small stores, barber shops, beauty salons, clothing stores, restaurants, and things like that had been hit such a hard and unexpected blow by the closures of 2020, by the forced layoffs of 2020. That they were simply unable to stay above the waterline and they sank to be seen no more. Do you practice the presence of God in your life? Do you implement practical steps of faith? Or are you calling yourself a Christian, but just living in this very surface way? Do you lay your hand on your car and say, Lord, I dedicate this car to you not only for safety as I take it into traffic and into the busyness of the seas, for in the Bible, the seas represent the great mass of people. You see people zipping up and down on the highway, going here and there, and they have nary a thought that they could simply have an accident that brings their lives or somebody else's life to an end. Do you lay your hand on the car and dedicate the car to the keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you speak to the car and open your heart honestly to God and say, Lord, I am standing on the promises of Psalm 91. 1,000 may fall by my side and 10,000 by my right hand, but they will never repossess this car from me because me and Marge and the kids need and depend on it. We realize that even though we have a certain amount of income, we are not entitled to anything because we are stewards. Therefore, we ask the Holy Spirit to bless this car. Keep it in our ownership for as long as we need it. Do you practice practical things like laying your hand on your wallet or your other measures of storage and praying the blood of Jesus over them? Do you say to God, I thank you, Father, that as I put my hand on this purse, this wallet, the devourer will not come and take away what I have? Or is it just assumed that because we live in modern society, just the way we sit on planes and we implicitly trust that the pilot knows what he is doing and will get us from LaGuardia to JFK or from LaGuardia to LAX without any problems, do we just trust that things just work out because we're a child of God? We say it with the mouth. Doesn't God say, these people, they're close to me with the mouth, but far away from me in our hearts? Self-examine, because the times that are coming, I have been saying it consistently on this channel, are going to test and prove who the real children of God are and who are the ones with roots that are as small as spring onions who will simply melt in the great financial fires that are on the way. The title of the prophecy, The Meltdown of the Banking System, March the 7th, 2023. The banner scripture is this: they will throw their silver into the streets and their gold will seem unclean. Their silver and gold cannot save them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They cannot satisfy their appetites or fill their stomachs with wealth, for it became the stumbling block that brought their iniquity. Ezekiel 7 and 19. And here God is talking about how wealth, the love of it, is the root of all evil. Ezekiel 7:19 is saying that money became to a certain bunch of people the stumbling block that brought them into iniquity. I spoke of iniquity in the last video, and I said that iniquity is an ingrained sin that you cannot shake off. You can't get rid of it. It is like a repetitive tape, a background screensaver that just keeps running in a person's life. And the reason for it is because it was an open door through which a person sinned, and then demons entered in and began to greatly harden and empower the sin until the sin overtook the person, and now the person commits the sin like a pattern uniformly, and they can't get rid of it unless and until there is deliverance, until there is a stronger outside power that is able to attack the operation of the pattern and bring the pattern, the iniquity, to an end. And so God is saying here in this scripture that filling the stomach with money and satisfying the appetite with money is not possible. Now, at first glance, you might think, well, when I'm hungry, I pay for food and I eat it. But what God is literally saying, for a lot of the Bible, many of its scriptures are exactly what they mean. He's simply saying, you can't eat money when you are hungry, and you cannot consume wealth to satisfy your palate. And this same wealth became the stumbling block that brought a people into iniquity, meaning into hardened sin. And this is a picture of how America trusts so greatly in her money. America trusts so greatly to the sanctity and the universal buying power of the U.S. dollar. But what will happen when a mallet comes from heaven and smashes not only the dollar, but the custodians of the dollar, the Federal Reserve, and the banking system of America? This is what the Lord was saying. And so I was praying on the 7th. It was my day off. I had been working on the blog, and that's why I was able to put up two prophecies instead of one. And I was talking to God about personal things in my own life. But as I always find, when my heart is very open to God, He responds according to the importance of what He wants to say. So it's not like He doesn't give me answers, but He will speak to me about what is on His mind, because the channels of prayer have opened up for me to hear and receive from God. And the Lord began to speak about this same financial crisis that He says is coming. Which financial crisis is this? Is this a partial financial crisis? Is this something that's just going to rock the boat and scare us a little bit, and then what's his name, Hank Paulson and friends, are going to be able to stave it off like they did last time? No. The Lord says that the financial crisis coming is going to be worse than 2008, a crash that will devastate the United States economy totally and take it back to 1931 levels. These are direct quotes from previous prophecies. Now, in 1931 is when America kind of woke up to the fact that she was in a difficulty. Prior to that, they had the roaring 20s. The champagne was flowing. The nightclubs were full. The performances and artists were world famous. And everybody was doing the Charleston and eating steak. But all that largesse, reckless spending, reckless borrowing, and hardly any regulation of all that money led to a sudden slump and shaking in the money. And between 1929 and 1931, America began to realize that she had reached the top of a very dangerous roller coaster. From 1931 to 1933, she took a horrible, horrible downward spiral. The entire nature of this country changed. Entire industries collapsed. Tycoons were jumping off the top of skyscrapers when they realized that they were paupers. They were bankrupt and penniless. Suicide took a spike, and this country became so, so, so poor. So whenever God is warning about these things, He is always bringing up Noah. And God wants us to understand that the reason these prophecies have been going on for quite a while is not because God is not serious about what he's saying. People always listen, and then they will say, you've been saying these things for a long time, and anyway, we can find out these things from the financial experts. What God wants us to know is that the length of time that he has been using to talk is exactly what he did with Noah. God showed extreme grace towards the people of Noah's day using Noah. Noah had, from the time he was 500 years old and he was a father of three, unto the time he finished the boat and God told him to get into it when he was 600 years old, a 100-year period during which he was building for himself a refuge, and Noah never intended to get on that boat alone. Noah preached righteousness, obedience to God, and taking heed of God's words for the entire time it took to get that massive boat ready. Noah never stopped because of people's mockery. Noah never doubted God, because had Noah doubted God, he would have been unable to carry through with a project so large that it probably could be seen from surrounding towns, with a project that probably required all his time and effort, and the time of effort and the time and effort of his sons. Noah going into town constantly to get materials and being asked, where's the rain, Noah? He was unperturbed. He was unmoved. Noah believed God in spite of mockery. Noah is the poster child to today's Christians to tell you that if you have not developed a tough enough heart, and when people mock you, it disappoints you, it depresses you, how on earth are you going to carry on to the point where God finally vindicates you by bringing his prophecies true? Why are you moved when people cut you off? Don't you know that this is part of the sifting of how light comes out of darkness, of how sheep separate with goats? And I always say, for my part, if I was moved, would there not be just one video on this channel, the introduction, and then people say something and I'm like, oh God, I can't follow through. I follow through because I know that out there, even in goat nation, are people that God is getting ready to break the horns off their head and turn them into sheep, or they are going to realize the mess that they're in, and they're going to shave those horns off themselves and say, Lord, please turn me into a sheep. I can't tell who's going to end up sheep and who's going to end up goats. And so I go out as a sower and I sow God's words, because I know that the words of God cannot come back to him void. Someone has to respond. Someone has to believe. Someone has to realize that if they keep listening to Julie Green and Lance Woolnough and Robin What's-His-Face and Troy Black and Carrie Ann Gidden and Amanda Grace, that they are going to smash into walls of economic hardship that will make their heads spin. Someone has to realize that it is better to pull the Band-Aid off now and fortify their faith than to continue on with people promising you an ABC type of presidency, and this is going to be great again. Because when you end up in the reality that God intends for us, you will not be able to take it. Someone will hear these words. It will find good ground. I trust God for a hundredfold return. And this is why the camera goes on and on and on, regardless of what's going on this end, for as long as he needs me to come. I will come. And so, if we have a hearing ear like baby Samuel, whom Eli taught to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, then God will prepare us and have us living in watchful readiness. Watchful readiness is where your spirit is learning to balance in between the shocks and the fear of whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is warning us about, and yet you're not becoming jaded. You're not becoming worn down by the prophecies. I always say, watch that these prophecies don't rob you of your faith. Why? Imagine if hearing the prophecy makes you tired. How on earth are you going to actually live through it? If just hearing it is enough to kill the seed of faith in you, how are you going to cope when the prophecy gets going for real? It means you die a first death upon hearing, and then you die again when it's time to live it out. And that is not God's intention. These prophecies hit the heart because God wants the heart to know that the heart has no clue how to navigate the future that is ahead without Jesus. These prophecies are meant to not drive you to the comment section to comment so much as they are to drive you into the arms of the only one equipped to carry you through this. Jesus is our Moses. Jesus is our Moses. He's going to part the water. He's going to lead the way. But if you don't know how to go back to him and you just freeze in paralysis, then the hearing, though you hear, the seed will be no good in you. It will not return a righteous harvest to you, your family, or unto the Lord. And so as I was praying to God, he began to say how gracious he is and that the time he is taking for these words to come to pass has always been his mercy, his love, and his grace. And then he was very factual, and here is what he said. The banks are going to have a massive meltdown. All banks, all of them. This crash, God said that no bank will survive it. He said that all America's banks are going to fail. They are all going to collapse like dominoes, going down one after another, and there is going to be no attempt made from any quarter to save any of them. So the difference between now, what's coming, and 2008 is that in 2008, they got into a quick football huddle, and they tried to save the too big to fail. 2008 is where we got too big to fail. Well, this is going to be all fail to fail. No one's going to be able to help them. He said the government is not going to help them this time. There will be a total failing of the banking system in this country, and it will be like molten liquid running down, like iron melting in a furnace, liquefaction of bank bonds and assets that rely on paper money. And this word liquefaction, I had to look it up, and I will provide the definition shortly. So as God was speaking to me and telling me that this crash is going to be whole, total, widespread, totally across the board, I began to see a raging fire of very tall skyscrapers standing against what just looks like the U.S. Manhattan skyline. So these were all the fancy, tall, glass-surfaced skyscrapers on roaring fire. The fire was across all these tall buildings, and they were melting. They were melting in this furnace of heat that literally made it look as if the sun had come down on these buildings. And I was seeing big name banks burning up in broad daylight on Bankers Row. Bankers Row is just basically those enclaves where rich banks, bougie banks, posh banks, middle-sized banks can afford very pricey real estate, and they tend to huddle together. Why? Because they're all in the same business. So here we have Wall Street, but I know, for instance, in the UK, they call that area in London the city. That is what they call that area. And so every building that I was seeing burning down was wearing sort of like a metal chain. You know, like the Masons have that big metal chain. All the buildings were wearing a metal chain around them. And then here, there was a white tag, and their name was on it. But because of the fire, or just because God would not want me to sit here and name them, I could not see the names written on the bank. So I didn't see any name written on any of the big banks or the tall banks or the middle-sized banks that were burning. The only thing I kept hearing as I was watching those buildings melt like popsicles in the sun was liquefaction, liquidation, liquefaction, liquidation, and all those buildings went down in that fire. Not a single bank was spared. The only difference that I saw among the meltdown of the banks is that some banks melted clear to the ground and became nothing but a puddle of iron, and some banks melted to different heights different levels, and then somehow the fire went out and the building became like a calcified stump. So it was exactly the way fingers are. Some burnt to here, some burnt here, and some burnt all the way down here, and maybe some here, and others burnt clear to the ground. And the Lord said that not a single bank will survive the financial collapse in America. They will all go down one after another in what he called a domino effect. And God said that after that is coming a new form of money, and we will never be able to leave that money. We will never be able to go back from it. So what is liquefaction? Liquefaction, as I looked it up, is a geological process that happens during natural disasters. Says that the earth will lose its normal character either because of sudden shifts, sudden shearing forces where the earth is made to tear too fast, like landslides and earthquakes and things like that, or in places where the rain has been going on constantly way above normal for too long. And then suddenly the ground becomes very soft. So the ground will lose its solid character as ground and just begin to act as water. It will suddenly liquefy. And when that happens, whatever is standing upon that ground, whether it's a building, whether it's a tall building, a house, or even where you park your car, because the ground changes its character from solid to liquid, whatever is standing upon it suddenly enters into it. And I found a very excellent picture of that, and I hope that you will be able to see it. That is a car, and we all know that cars don't park that way. You can see ground level, and the car literally sank into the ground. And that kind of thing that is lost cannot be pulled out again. Liquefaction, in simple terms, means that things that can't possibly sink into the earth do sink into the earth, and sometimes they go right out of sight. And so God is saying that the same thing will happen in the financial world. Banks and enterprises of all kinds are going to absolutely disappear from the economy. And before I forget, I just want to say to America, Kmart, Toys R Us, Sears, flagships of the U.S. economy, they haven't survived. They don't exist anymore. They're just names that we used to know. Some things will disappear only partially. They will become the stumps that I spoke about, but everything, he said, will be hit so hard that even what looked solid 1 minute will be wiped out the next minute, sink and collapse. The next thing he said is that we are going into coin money. This is not silver and gold coins. This is not the wealth that people are stockpiling as bars or metals or coins. It is a kind of coin money that will be used exclusively on the phone, in an app, and in the cloud. I am not speaking of Bitcoin either. He said that it is not Bitcoin, that Bitcoin and all the other free and privately owned forms of cryptocurrency will also fail. So this money, he just called it coin. And the next prophecy I'm going to cover is called the nascent rise of coin, which means the soon coming rise. That's what nascent means. It means soon coming or soon to be seen, rising in the background. Coin is a standardized form of currency that will eventually be used all over the world as the financial arm of the beast. It is one global currency for all. And there was a prophecy that I posted about this, talking about coin, and it is the prophecy underwater, and I will just cover that briefly. This prophecy was from last year, July 2022, where God gave several prophecies, February, and I think there was one in June, and then there was another one in July, and he kept saying that money is going away, that this and that is going to crash, and so I will just cover a little bit of that. Just a moment, please. And so in this prophecy underwater, which is from July 14, 2022, the Lord was saying that the New York Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ, the FTSE, the Dow Jones is going to crash. He said, tell them the NASDAQ, FTSE, New York Stock Exchange, the Dow Jones, and every other form of currency and investment platform that they're trusting in is going to be flooded on purpose. It's going down. Underwater, all of it. It's already impossible to really make a fortune using these indices because they are rigged to favor the super rich, the super wealthy. Anyone who thinks he's making money on it is actually making only pennies compared to where the real trades are happening. Money is being exchanged in a secret part of the stock exchange where ordinary people will never find it or be able to participate in it. The system is rigged. The rich know the score. Ordinary people can't even find where the real money is traded. It is kept in plain sight, and yet it is not visible at all. And the Lord was teaching me, since I know nothing about this, he said that the stock exchange is actually this kind of fun playground for people who are in the know. And the way they fund the game is that they open up the trades to ordinary people who then put their money into the game, thinking that they're coming into a level playing field to make money. But he said that once you put your money on the board, these guys kind of treat it like chips at the poker table. They pull the money into a secret part, and it becomes the player's money. So he said they call themselves names like the players, the untouchable, the uber rich, that they have click names for themselves. And they play with this money in a secret part of the stock exchange. And even if you're out there and you're thinking, oh, no, this is going up, I'm making money, it's actually them making money in a secret part of the stock exchange. Another prophecy that I would like to touch on briefly, oh, he also said that a lot of the stock exchange, it is run almost exclusively by insider trading, and this is why ordinary people can't possibly seem to bring in as much as those who are in the know. Now, the last prophecy that I would like to cover is called, just a moment, please. It is called Makeup, Money, and Monsters, and I got that in June of 2022. And the section I would like to cover here with you now was called The Destruction of Money in the World Economy. And the same scripture I read today came again. They would throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be treated as an unclean thing. Silver and gold would not be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. It won't satisfy their hunger. It will not fill their stomachs, for it has caused them to stumble into iniquity. And then what Lord God said to me at that time was, you will have trouble getting money out of the bank in a short time. There will be a mass shortage of bills, physical money that you call hard cash, because the banks have no liquidity. The banks are overstretched in their dealings, and they have no actual funds to back up everything that they're doing in terms of trading. They cannot guarantee their deposits by any stretch of the imagination. He said that America's banks especially, but also major banks around the world, are running a high-stakes poker game, that they have a lot of perceived clout and solid reputations in the market, but God said that they don't have a single penny required for them to keep on hand by law to pay up if somebody wanted their money. He says if anyone wants to take their money from the bank, it will be hard for them to get it. And you can already see that because they're starting to put limitations on how much cash you can withdraw at the ATM and inside the branch. He says this dangerous situation is already at the end of its logical rope. Now you must prepare for mass chaos and societal breakdown once it becomes public news that the banks are no longer sound. They don't have money on site. They don't have money at the banking halls and in the vaults. They do not receive the incoming physical capital that they should every day to maintain the base rate financial liquidity. It is a foregone conclusion that America's banks will crash, and my word that I gave shall be fulfilled. And here's the word. The USA will suffer a financial crisis that is worse than all previous ones. Except this time, there's no rescue coming by the government or by anyone. The economy will be destroyed, and conditions equal to or worse than the Great Depression will arise. And God added this, it is wise that you marry a rational man that has common sense enough to always keep a duffel bag of money and other resources in the house. Do not marry a complacent fool who does not know or watch the signs of the times. This is the warning of God. The banking crisis is coming, not being able to get money, no longer able to afford goods and services because they will be priced right out of the reach of most people. Again, in this prophecy, he said, beast money is on the way. The banking crisis will remove hard currency from circulation and the banks themselves will crash. It will be allowed to happen because now is the day of the new world order. It is the time to do away with currency, hard cash, and physical money to raise up and implement the online money of the beast. A new cryptocurrency is the beast money system. And so you can hear how consistent God's word is. He has been saying the same thing for a long time, and it is now time for us to move from fear and paralysis to doing the things I said in the beginning of this video. Make God your mainstay and your hope, and involve him in your day-to-day financial decisions. Thank you to everyone who supports me. I'm grateful to you, and may the Lord bless you and return it to you. This is Celestial, and this is the Master's Voice. Until I see you again, goodbye.